playing up the national anthem, we'll check the defensive alignment for the New York Mets. At first base, it's Marv Thornberry. At second base, it's Charlie Neal. At shortstop, it's Elio Chacon. And around at third, Frank Thomas. In left field, Gene Woodling. In center field, Richie Ashburn. And in right field, Jim Hickman. The catcher is Sammy Taylor. And the pitcher is Al Jackson. Al Jackson is making his 13th start and his 16th appearance of this season. In his last four starts, he's gone 7 innings, 8 innings, 8 1/3 innings, and 9 innings, the last being a very strong game against the Houston Gold 45. Al won the game 3-1, giving up only one run on 7 hits, and he struck out 4. This is Jackson's second outing this season against the Chicago Cubs. On April 16th, he worked 2 1/3 innings. He gave up 3 runs on 5 hits. He was not involved in the final decision in that ballgame. Scheduled to pitch the second game today for the New York Mets is Bob Miller, and scheduled to pitch the second game for the Chicago Cubs is Bob Buell. But right now, stepping into the batter's box to lead off for the Chicago Cubs, the right fielder and left-hand batter, Don Landrum. Don Landrum has a season batting average of .323, no home runs, and 6 runs batted in. He has good speed. Al Jackson, the left-hander, into the windup, and the pitch is in high. The ball game is underway, the first of two here this Sunday afternoon at the Polo Grounds. Ball one and no strikes to Don Landrum. That pitch is high for a ball. It's 2-0. Frank Thomas in on the edge of the grass at third base against the speed of leadoff man and left-hand batter, Don Landrum. It's 2-0 pitch. It's high for ball. So Al Jackson has gone 3-0 to the leadoff man for the Chicago Cubs, Don Landrum. He walked him on 4-pitch ball. So Jackson has walked the first man up. Landrum is at first, and Kenny Hubbs is coming up. He is the young second baseman in his rookie season in the National League, hitting 271. That includes 3 home runs and 25 runs batted in. Marv Thornberry is holding against the runner at first base. Lou Klein is the coach at first, and head coach Charlie Metro is coaching at third. Jackson throws over. Landrum is back safely. A sunny Sunday afternoon in New York City. Pitch is outside. 1-0. Billy Williams standing in the on-deck circle. Now Jackson is into the stretch. The pitch to Hubs. Outside for a ball. It's 2-0. Jackson has opened up the ball game with 6 pitches and does not yet have a strike. He won't land him on 4-pitch balls, and he's gone out 2-0 now on Kenny Hubs. Jackson stretches and pitches. It's in there for a call, strike one. 2-1 to count now. Kenny Hubs, who was taking all the way on the pitch. Again, Jackson is set to work. Pitch is swung on and fouled off to the right side, out of play, on the ground. So the count is level at 2 balls and 2 strikes to Ken Hubs. At first, Don Landrum takes his lead. That pitch is low for a ball. So it's full now, 3-2. Kenny Hubs with nobody out and a runner at first with good speed. Charlie Metro is running through the repertoire of signs being watched intently by Kenny Hubs at the plate and Don Landrum's base runner at first. Metro runs this club from the coaching box at third base. Landrum takes his lead. He's running. He's swinging a miss. The throw through to second base and he is caught up. The throw back to first. They have him in a rundown. Stoneberry's running to second. Charlie Neal's running him back. And now Obstruction is being ruled here, and Landrum is going to be allowed to go to second base. Dan Landon called the play, and Casey Stengel is out of the dugout and running onto the field. Charlie Neal was running it back, and Thornberry colliding with the base runner. Now Casey Single is going through to Jester. And arguing the point with Steve August, the umpire at first, and Stan Landis, the umpire at second. Obstruction was ruled, giving the base to Landrum. He was caught in the rundown as he was running on the pitch where Hub struck out. And the throw went through it at him by so much that he decided to go back to first. And when Charlie Neal started running back, he collided with Strawberry. What Casey Single is arguing is that the base runner was looking for somebody to run into. This happens many times, of course. Baseball players are caught sometimes. If you're caught in a rundown and you find the man without the baseball, collide with him and hope for an obstruction call. That is Casey's point here. However, he is coming off the diamond now. As the obstruction call does stand, and Landrum is at second base. There is one man out. Kenny Hubbs struck out, of course, on the 3-2 pitch. Billy Williams is coming up now with a batting average of 341. Williams is a left-hand batter. He has 13 homers. Pitch is low for a ball. Marv Stoneberry on the obstruction play is charged with an error. On the obstruction play, the official scorer charges Stoneberry with an error. Stoneberry is the man with whom Landrum collided. He did not have the ball in his possession at the time. There's a pitch low for a ball. It's 2-0 now to Billy Williams at the plate. One man out and Landrum at second base. Al Jackson, the left-hander, looking in for his sign from Sammy Taylor. That pitch is low for a ball, and it's out 3-0 now. Three balls and no strikes to Billy Williams. Mark Thornberry calls time down. He's going into the mound to try to steady Al Jackson down a little bit. That is the first obstruction call of that kind we've seen on the bases this season. Although, as we mentioned, many baseball players are taught that if you're caught in a rundown, chances are you will be out. You can find a man on the base path without the baseball. By all means, try to collide with him and hope for an obstruction call. Here's a pitch in there for a called strike. Three balls and one strike now to Billy Williams. Tough man at the plate. Been right up there all season long among the National League leaders in the batting race. Last season was Rookie of the Year in the National League. Jackson's into the stretch, and here is a 3-1 pitch. Swung on, a ground ball to the right side. Thornberry fields it deep. He'll have to play to Jackson. He's there, he's out. Landrum moves to third on the play. Ground ball taken deep behind the bag by Marv Thornberry. Al Jackson, he's a speedy. Fella got over there in time, plenty of time to take the throw. Two away, a runner at third, and Ernie Banks is coming up. Ernie Banks has a season batting average of 266, 17 home runs, and 39 runs batted in. Always a tough man at the plate. Sammy Taylor has been out for a conference with Al Jackson, has completed it. End of the windup, and here's the pitch. It's low for ball. Ernie Banks was bluffing as he shortened up on the grip there, taking the pitch. Ernie Banks has it bat cocked. Jackson comes in with the pitch low for ball. It's 2-0. Here in this first inning, Al Jackson has had difficulty finding the plate. He walked Landrum on four pitch balls. Count went out 3-2 on Kenny Hubb. Went out 3-1 on Williams. There's a pitch low. It's out 3-0 now on Ernie Banks. Pitch. It's low. He walked him on four pitch balls. So Banks goes to first. They runners at first and third. Two men out. Ron Santo, batting number 5 in the batting order, coming up. He's a right hand batter. Santo has a batting average of 247. He has 9 home runs, 38 runs batted in. Pitch is in there for a call, strike one. It's low for ball. 1-1 to count now to Ron Santo. Voted by the baseball writers, the outstanding second-year man in the National League last season. Has been used all up and down the batting order. Was up there in the leadoff position, but head coach Charlie Metro decided he had too much power to be wasted up there in the leadoff. Here's a 1-1 pitch, and he takes it low and inside for ball. It's 2-1. Ernie Banks, the base runner at first, and Don Landrum is the base runner at third for the Chicago Cubs. On deck for the Cubs is Lou Brock, swinging the bat down the on-deck circle. Coach Buck O'Neill there in the corner of the dugout. Here's Jackson's pitch, and it's swung on at the drive, going deep to right center field. It could be an in-betweener, and it is. Landrum has scored. Coming out around third is Ernie Banks, and he is coming in to score. Headed for third is Ron Santo. There is no throw. He slides in safely, and Elio Chacon runs the ball back to the infield. A long triple to right center field, scoring two runs for the Chicago Cubs, and they're out in front by a score of 2-0. Here in the top half of the first inning. That was a long, long wallop. Deep to right center. Neither Ashburn nor Hickman had any chance to get through the ball. Both tried, but placed out there actually in between them and beyond them. Here's a left-hand batter, Lou Brock, up with a runner at third. Still two men out. Two runs into the Chicago Cubs in the top half of the first inning. Brock tries to drag a bunt. It's strike one. Jackson set to work, and the pitch sails outside. The ball is 1-1. Lou Brock, the rookie center fielder of the Chicago Cubs in his second year in professional baseball. St. Cloud in the Northern League last year led that league batting. Here's a drive going deep to center field. Richie Ashman going way back and towards the bleacher area. And this one is hitting on top and into the center field bleachers. Into the center field bleachers for a home run. And Sapolo got a tremendous wallop. Actually, there is a batting screen out there for the batters to get a better background. That is high in front of the area there at the corner by the clubhouse door. That ball hit on top of that batter's background, and it's bounded into the bleachers for a home run into the center field bleachers. Two runs, a tremendous wallop. Through the monument out there in center, 475 feet, and this one was close by. Lou Brock with a monumental home run here at the Polo Grounds, and the Cubs lead by a score of 4-0. Nobody on now, and Andre Rogers is up. That pitch is tight for ball. Count to Andre Rogers. Pitches outside. It's 2-0. Four runs in this inning. Jackson set to work with a 2-0 pitch. It's in there for a call strike, 2-1. We're in the top half of the first inning here at the Polo Grounds. There'll be plenty of baseball here today and this doubleheader between the Cubs and the Mets, so if you happen to be in the neighborhood driving around, why not drop in? There are plenty of good seats available. Here's a swing and a drive out to center field for a base hit. Andre Rogers with a single up the middle to center field. Now Dave Hillman is up and throwing in the bullpen for the New York Mets. Here is Mo Thacker at the plate, a right-hand batter. That home run by Lou Brock was the first one ever in the bleachers on the right field side of the clubhouse here at the Polo Grounds. There's a swing and a miss by Thacker. Joe Adcock once hit one. Joe Adcock has been known through the years as the only man ever to hit a ball into the center field bleachers at the Polo Grounds. but his went to the left field side of the clubhouse. This one by Lou Brock to the right field side of the clubhouse. A tremendous wallop. He's running. That's a throw through to second base. A little low, and he finds him safely. Stolen base. Charlie Neal trying to field the ball, but the throw is low, and Hothacker at plate. That's a count of one and one is Andre Rogers. Has stolen second base. Still 2 men out. 4 runs in here in the top half of the first inning for the Chicago Cubs. Now, Mizell is up and throwing along with Dave Hillman in the bullpen for the New York Mets. Left-hander, Vinnegan, Mizell, the right-hander, Dave Hillman. Jackson's into the stretch. Rogers leads it second. Here's the pitch swung on and fouled off. It's 1-2 now to Mo Thacker. Looks in for a sign from Sammy Taylor. Has it now. He's into the stretch. Rogers leads it second. Here's a pitch to Thacker. Swing and a miss. He struck him out to retire the side. So in the top half of the first inning, the Chicago Cubs got 4 runs on 3 hits, 1 error, and 1 man left. And so at the end of 1 half inning of play, the score is the Chicago Cubs 4 and the New York Mets nothing. Time now for a moment's entertainment with the famous group of entertainers from Rheingold.
The Rheingold Extra Drive. The talented players present a tale of the old frontier. In a cavern in a canyon next to 84 a mine, with the miner, 49er, and his daughter, 7 times. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, 7 times. You were lost and gone forever. Oh, my darling, 7 times. Weeks ago, this patient miner sent his daughter out for beer.
Left-hand batter with a season's batting average of 294. He has 1 home run and 9 runs batted in. And he is facing Glenn Hobby, who has a season's record of 1 victory and 8 losses. Punch the ball down the third baseline. Could be trouble. Thacker has it throws the first. Not in time. He's safe. Richie Ashford running the first pitch down the third baseline. A perfectly placed punch. Mo Thacker, the catcher, was out there. He took it wheeling through hurriedly, but not in time to get Ashford. Scoring as a base hit. That brings up Elio Chacon to shortstop. Chacon with a season batting average of 246. Ben Hobby on the mound for the Cubs is making his 12th start, his 20th appearance of the season. He lost to the Mets 4-3. There's a pitch outside. That was on June 8th in Chicago. Hobby on that occasion pitched 8 innings. He gave up 4 runs on 9 hits. Rhythmic applause has begun here at the Polo Grounds. The bottom half of the first has a swing and a foul ball up to the right side and out of play. Kneeling in the on-deck circle is Gene Woodley, who performed on 5 consecutive World Championship teams here in New York with the Yankees, wearing the number 11 on his back here. The ball is funny. The Glenn Hobby is up with it, and he throws up a first base in time. Well, on that one, you give Chacon a sacrifice, although he was actually bunting for the base hit. You must score it as a sacrifice. As the play went from Glenn Hobby to Ernie Banks and move Richie Ashford to second base. Gene Whitling is second. Gene Whitling, a left-hand batter, gets a hand here in his first appearance in the uniform of the New York Mets. In now with that batting stance that is peculiar to Gene Woodling alone. feet very close together. Sort of a pigeon-toed stance, actually. Knees almost together and crouching at the plate. Gene Woodley. Pitch it outside. I remember talking to Gene about this batting stance a few years ago, and he was saying that he wouldn't recommend that anybody else use it. But it's the one that he has found best for himself. It actually looks as though he's a little off balance up there. Although it's not an effective batting stance for him, it would be a tough one to try to copy. He watches low for ball. Two balls and no strikes to Gene Woodley. With the Washington Senators this season in the American League, Woodling has a batting average of 280. That includes five home runs and 16 runs batted in. Seen a lot of action. He's been in 44 ball games. The Senators this season, batted about 107 times. He watches high for ball three. It's out 3-0. Year before last, when the Baltimore Orioles were making their run toward the American League pennant and finished in second place, Gene Woodling was a mainstay in the lineup for the Orioles at that time. Down 3-0, there's one man out. Ashburn leads in second. Here's a pitch low. He walks him on four pitch balls. So Woodling becomes the base runner. He goes to first. Ashburn holds at second, and Frank Thomas is carrying up. Frank Thomas, who is playing third base today in the lineup of the New York Mets. During his Major League career, Thomas has seen a great deal of action at third base. Pittsburgh Pirates used him there a great deal. Cincinnati Reds used him there. So this is not exactly a new position for him, although it's the first time he's played it for the New York Mets. Thomas has a season's batting average of 293, including 13 home runs. He leads the New York Mets in that department. Pitches in there for a call, strike one. Now steps off, puts his hands on his hips, and decides to take a little walk around over to the rosin bag. Now he comes back. Thomas, in the meantime, stepped out of the batter's box. He's coming back in. The count to Thomas is strike one. Ashburn leads at second. Woodling leads at first. Here's the pitch to Thomas. Ball and a ground ball going up the middle for a base hit. Ashburn is turning a third. I see what gives him a green light. He's coming in. Throw goes to the relay man on the run. It's scored. Woodley holding at second. It's Thomas on with a ground single to center field. And a run batted in. So the New York Mets have broken the ice in the scoring column. Cubs lead him by a score of 4-1. And Marv Thornberry is coming up. Give Thomas a single and a run batted in. Holding at second is Gene Woodley. And Thomas is on at first. Thornberry is a left-hand batter. And now, Charlie Metro, the head coach of the Chicago Cubs, is going to the mound. Mozak and the catcher is being called in. Ron Santo, the third baseman. Metro likes to go out to that mound. Talk things over. Of course, in the National League, there's no limit to the number of times you can go out there. It has been said that when a Metro-managed Cub team plays a Gene Mauk-managed Philadelphia Philly team, it may take 10 hours to play the ballgame because they are two managers who like to get out there to the mound with a great deal of frequency. Metro now has turned and gone back to the dugout. Takes his position there in the corner. Marv Thornberry with the bat here to swing it back. Going deep to right center field. Pitching in between, and it is. It's an in betweener. Woodling is coming on to score. Frank Thomas is rounding third. He's coming on to score. Marv Thornberry is on his way to third, and he goes in standing up with a triple. Thomas has scored for the New York Mets on a long, long wallop. Off the bat of Marv Thornberry. On into the bullpen area of the New York Mets. And right center field. It's a 4-3 ball game, and Thornberry is on at third with one man out, and Charlie Neal is coming up. Two runs batted in by Marv Thornberry on the long, long drive. That will bring up Charlie Neal. Apparently, Marv Thornberry has begun to swing that touch with some authority. He said that when he came to the New York Mets from the Baltimore Orioles, he felt that the pitchers were way ahead of him because he had not played a great deal in Baltimore, and he thought that it was going to take him a little time, and he said about a week ago he thought he was getting just in shape, and he had a long home run in Houston, and he just walloped this ball for three bases. And Barney Schultz, the veteran knuckleballer, is throwing the bullpen now for the Chicago Cubs with Charlie Neal at the plate. There's one man out. Thrown to relief down the line at third. Hobby steps off the rubber and throws over to first base, and he is out at first base on an appeal play. And on the field play, Dusty Bogart says that Thornberry missed first base. Hobby threw over to Ernie Banks, and Bogart has called Thornberry out for missing first base. He repeats the call three times. See, the ball is not yet in play until the pitcher is on the rubber. Hobby took his place on the rubber, threw over to Banks, who tagged the bag. Thornberry has been called out, and he is now coming reluctantly down the line toward the dugout. Dusty Bogart, the umpire at first, has called Thornberry out, saying that he missed first base. So there are two men out. No count to Charlie Neal, of course. Glenn Hobby had to get up there on the rubber, put the ball in play that way, and then throw over to first to Ernie Banks. It is an appeal play, and on the appeal, it is sustained by Bogart, and the runner is out. Here's pitch to Charlie Neal. It's going to left field. It's deep. It's going, and it is bound for a home run. The score is tied, 4-4. This season, it hit on the top of the upper deck, on the facade of the roof of the upper deck, and rebounded onto the playing field for a home run, and the score is tied, 4-4. Two men out and nobody on. Sammy Thaler is up to plate. Pitch comes in high for a ball. It's 1-0. It's a swing and a ground ball to the right side. It is second by Ernie Banks. He's going to make the play unassisted, and he does. So the New York Mets, in the bottom half, the first inning, got four runs on three hits, no errors, and nobody left. And at the end of one full inning of play, the score is the Chicago Cubs 4 and the New York Mets 4. Back to get four big runs. Of course, Marv Thornberry lost a base hit on that long drive out there when he was called out for failing to touch first base. Of course, he does not get a base hit at all, and the put out goes to the first baseman. But the New York Mets have tied it 4-4 as we go to the top half of the second inning, and this is Glenn Hobby coming up. There's a swing and a foul ball. Bats in on the rooftop. So it goes to strike one to Glenn Hobby. Left-hander Al Jackson. Starting pitcher still in the ballgame for the New York Mets. Here's a pitch. Swing and a miss. Right now we pause for station identification.
The time. This is WGY, WGFM, the General Electric station, Schenectady 810 on your radio dial. Present temperature reading is 86 degrees.
Here is the pitch. It's swung out, and that's a fly ball to center field. Richie Ashburn drifting back, has it lined up. Ashburn hauls it down in deep center field. So Glenn Hobby flies out, one away, and Don Landrum is coming up. Landrum has been up one time, and he walked. In Cleveland, at the end of an inning and a half, the New York Yankees nothing and the Cleveland Indians nothing. It's Bill Stafford going against Dick Donovan. Pitch to Landrum is low for a ball. However, Cleveland Indians have broken loose here in the bottom half of the second for a total of four runs. Two run homer by Kendall, one by Phillips, and one by Mahoney.
There's a pitch in there for a called strike to Landrum. If you're keeping a scorecard on the Thornberry play, here's a pitch coming in high. On the Thornberry play, as we mentioned, no base hit. But he does get the runs batted in, both of them. And, of course, it is charged as a time at bat, and Ernie Banks gets the foot out on the play. It's in there for a call strike. Fired the fastball. It's 2-2 now to Don Landrum. The end of two innings of play, the Cleveland Indians 4, the New York Yankees nothing. At the call strike 3, fired the fastball and caught him looking. Strikeout number 2 for Jackson. 2 men out, nobody on, and Kenny Hubbs is coming up. Hubbs been up one time and struck out. Swinging the ground ball to Jackson. Fields it cleanly. Pivots and fakes over the first inside. So Jackson gets the side out in order in the top of the second. The Cubs are out with no runs on, no hits, no errors, and nobody left. At the end of an inning and a half, the score is the Chicago Cubs 4 and the New York Mets 4. You know, there's an old saying that goes, there is no such thing as a bad beer. It's just that some are better than others. Well, we can subscribe to that. And what does make one beer better than another? We believe we have the answer in the word dry. Yes, sir, dry tells you why Rheingold is a better beer. Better because it's more refreshing, more wonderfully suited to your taste. Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Brisk and bright, clean, clear through. Rheingold's way of brewing is long, slow, and costlier, but it pays off in taste. The better taste you find with Rheingold Extra Dry alone. So if you're searching for a better beer, look no more. Look to Rheingold Extra Dry. Enjoy a glass of fine, cold Rheingold along with the baseball. See why millions say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. We'll be going now to the bottom half of the second inning, and the Mets will send up Jim Hickman, Al Jackson, and Richie Ashman. In the American League this afternoon, the Baltimore Orioles are scheduled against the Washington Senators in a single game, Brown against Daniels. The Los Angeles Angels are in Chicago for a doubleheader against the White Sox. Minnesota Twins are in Kansas City for a single game. The Boston Red Sox are in Detroit for a doubleheader. All of those are late to start. In the National League, at the end of two innings of play, the Philadelphia Phillies won, the Cincinnati Reds nothing. O'Toole against Brown. Milwaukee failed to score in the top half of the first against Pittsburgh. Vaughn against Haddock. Vaughn going after victory number 316 of his career. The Cardinals are at San Francisco and the Colt 45s at Los Angeles against the Dodgers. A later start. Here's a swing and a foul ball off the bat of Jimmy Cunn, fielded by Tolly Emus. And the coaching box to third. So it is strike one. There is a pitch that's low for ball. It's 1-1. Glenn Hobby is the pitcher for the Chicago Cubs, a veteran right-hander. Cookie Lavagetta is coaching at first, and Sally Amos around at third as usual for the New York Mets. Just a swing and a foul ball. Curveball was off of Jim Hickman, and they fouled it off to the right side out of play. It's 1-2 now. Pitch is low for ball. It's 2-2. The count now to Jim Hickman. Pitch misses outside for a ball. It's 3-2. The rookie right fielder of the New York Mets. Step back, took a look, and counts back into the batter's box now. And Barney Schultz is getting up to throw again. It's a check swing foul ball into the stands and out of play. Veteran knuckleballer Barney Schultz is up and throwing in the bullpen off the Chicago Cubs once again. They had him up there throwing a little bit in the bottom half of the first. Took him out on a curveball. He took a cut and missed. So that is strikeout number 1. And we'll bring up pitcher Al Jackson. Jackson with good speed. On some occasions, likes to try to drag the ball. However, on a warm, or rather a hot day like this, that might not be the best thing in the world to do for a pitcher. Score is tied 4-4. The Chicago Cubs got four in the top half of the first, and the Mets came back in the bottom of the first to get four. Just missed getting five when Thornberry was called out for missing first base on a triple. That pitch is high for a ball. Nine away. Two balls and no strikes now to Al Jackson. He started out of there to drag it, but took it for a call strike, 2-1. Al Jackson turning out of the batter's box. Purpose of dragging the ball, but two balls and one strike. Chopped that one off foul. It's 2-2. We're in the bottom half of the second inning of the first game of a doubleheader. Guess you'll hear this afternoon at the Polo Grounds, New York. So if you're in the area, we're going to be here for lots of baseball today. So drop in. There are plenty of good seats available. That pitch misses outside, and the count has gone out full now to Al Jackson. Second game pitchers here today are scheduled to be right-hander Bob Buell for the Chicago Cubs and right-hander Bob Miller for the New York Mets. Two pitch foul back onto the screen, and the count holds at 3-2. Here's a swing and a drive going into center field for a base hit from Al Jackson. That is his third base hit of the season. One was a drag punt, and that is his second clean base hit of the season. So he is on at first with one man out, and Richie Ashburn coming up. Jackson won't need the jacket out here this afternoon. Richie Ashburn started the rally for the New York Mets to bottom the first by dumping the ball perfectly down the third baseline and feeding it out for a base hit. Here's a drive trying to hit the right field. Landrum is going back and makes the catch. And now throws back in, and Jackson returns to back at first, but Landrum seemed to be hobbling as he was going back after that ball. Does not seem to be bothered now as he walks back in. But when Don Landrum started back for the fly ball, he seemed to be hobbling back. It is just possible that he may have sustained an injury, either chasing that ball hit by Thornberry back there a moment ago or on the bases in the first inning. Regardless, here is Elio Chacon at the plate. And he watches curveball inside for ball one. Two away. Jackson's runner at first. Score time 4-4. Pitch is high for a ball. Delving into the realm of conjecture, it is fortunate for the New York Mets that two men were not out when Thornberry hit the ball far out there in the right field, scoring two runners, because had there been two men out and they made the tag at first for his having missed the base, neither of the runs would have counted. Because with the batter not having legally reached first base, none of the runs scored on that drive would have been counted. Here's a drive going into the stands and out of play. Fortunately, only one man was out, so that the runs that scored did count when Thornberry failed to touch first base. Pitch to Chacon is outside. Osaka dropped the ball, slipped off the mat, picked it up, but Jackson wasn't going anywhere. The Mets now have 4-3 for the Cubs. Elio Chacon, with a count of 3-3, looks down to Sally Amos to see whether he is taking here or if he is free to swing away. Jackson's running. The pitch is low for a ball. He walked him. Ball four. And Charlie Metro is coming out to the mound. He has Barney Schultz throwing the bullpen. That is the second walk coming up today by Glenn Hobby. Metro goes to the bullpen with the sign, so that's all for Glenn Hobby. Glenn Hobby is through for the day.
after having been staked to a four-run lead. And Nookabala Barney Schultz will be coming in, and they will also have to bring in the big catcher's glove from Mo Thacker. It's being given to Schultz out there to bring in himself out in the bullpen area. He's been warmed up out there by Juno Barrigan wearing a mask and the big glove designed to catch a knuckleballer. And so it's being brought in by Barney Schultz. As Glenn Hobby has pitched 1 2/3 innings in which he has given up 4 runs on 4 hits. He has struck out 1 and walked 2, and he is responsible for the 2 men he is leaving. Jackson's running. The pitch is low for a ball. He walked him, ball 4. And Charlie Metro is coming out to the mound. He has Barney Schultz throwing in the bullpen. That is the second walk given up today by Glenn Hobby. Metro goes to the bullpen with the sign, so that's ball for Glenn Hobby. Glenn Hobby is through for the day after having been staked to a 4-run lead. And Nookabala Barney Schultz will be coming in, and they will also have to bring in the big catcher's glove from Mo Thacker. It's being given to Schultz out there to bring in himself out in the bullpen area. He's been warmed up out there by Juno Barrigan wearing a mask and the big glove designed to catch the knuckleballer. And so it's being brought in by Barney Schultz. As Glenn Hobby has pitched 1 2/3 innings in which he has given up 4 runs on 4 hits. He has struck out 1 and walked 2, and he is responsible for the 2 men he is leaving on base. Schultz bringing the jacket and the big glove in his hand as he comes on here. This fellow took a long time getting to the major leagues, Barney Schultz, but proved to be so effective at Houston in relief that the Chicago Cubs brought him up last year. And Glenn Hobby is leading, and here's the announcement of Barney Schultz. Mo Thacker has the big glove on out there now, the big catcher's glove. It was designed in Baltimore originally for the purpose of catching Hoyt Wilhelm, a knuckleballer who used to drive catchers crazy right here in the Polo Grounds. And you wonder now how Wes Bestrom ever managed to handle Wilhelm as he did with the regulation size catcher's glove. Charlie Metro takes the glove that Mo Thacker had and has it headed for the dugout. Now Mo Thacker is checking things out with Barney Schultz. He'll be pitching first to Gene Woodling. This is Barney Schultz's 5th appearance against the New York Mets. He was the winner in that ballgame last Sunday afternoon in Chicago when Ernie Banks hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth to tie it, and Andre Rogers doubled home the winning run in the 11th. Barney Schultz, in relief, was the winning pitcher in that ballgame.
This big fella struck out in the first inning. Norm Cash playing behind the runner at first base. Here's a fastball that's in there, one strike. I think Norm's trying to hide behind the runner at first base with his chin teal up. Boy, he can blaze them down that first baseline. Norm is moving out with Bowens on that pitch. Now he's in at the bag holding them close. Here's the one strike pitch. A swing and a foul tip. Two strikes to Gentile. Just pow, and it was in the right center field. He got a double on it. Quick throw to first base. Bowens back in time. Two strikes to Gentile. The pitch. Another foul ball. Boy, this one ricochets off the mask of Freehand and rocked him back on his heels. Soar tossing a new baseball out to Denny. Molly Bunker opened this inning with a ground ball to second base. Bob Johnson flied deep to right for out number 2. Sam Bowens then lined a single to right field. Here's the pitch to Gentile. Curve ball, it's too high.
3. Half a ball, it's 1-1. waiting. It's a pitch swung, it's a ground ball, fielded deep by Ernie Banks. He'll make the play unassisted. He does, and the side is retired. So Schultz has got Gene Winding ground out to first base unassisted, and in the bottom half of the second, the New York Mets are out with no runs on one hit, no errors, and two left. And at the end of two complete innings of play at the Polo Grounds, the score is the Chicago Cubs 4 and the New York Mets 4. Well, Pitch Brownie, a minor league slugger of note who sucked the Mets with a pinch triple last week in Houston, will be here with the Houston Colt 45s next weekend, which is big news in Peekskill, New York. That's Pitch's hometown. A delegation of Pitch Brownie's Peekskill neighbors will be on hand for Friday's Twi-Nighter to give Brownie his personal cheering section. Don't forget the old-timers game on July 14th. Clem Labine is the latest to accept the invitation of President George Weiss to pitch in that ball game. In the playoff series in 1951, which will be the theme of the old-timers' day, he pitched a 10-0 shutout for the Brooklyn Dodgers over the New York Giants in the second game of that three-game playoff for the National League Championship. In the National League this afternoon, at the end of three innings, the Philadelphia Phillies 5, the Cincinnati Reds nothing. The end of 2.5 innings, the Pittsburgh Pirates 3, the Milwaukee Braves nothing. In the American League, going to the fourth inning, the Cleveland Indians 4, the New York Yankees nothing. That's the first game of a doubleheader. Going to the fourth inning, the Baltimore Orioles 3, the Washington Senators 1. And the Boston Red Sox scored 2 runs in the top half of the first inning. Detroit coming to bat down the bottom of the first. Schwall against Voigtduck. That is the first game of a doubleheader in the American League. So that's how the action's going elsewhere. Right here, it's tied 4-4, going to the third inning, and the man coming in to detail the action is Ralph Kiner.
Thank you, Lindsey Nelson, and we're moving along in a very exciting ball game. And if you're around the area, it's still time to come on in and see plenty of baseball. 4-4, top of the third as Al Jackson works through his first man. It's Billy Williams, and he takes down low, ball one, a curveball. Williams second in the National League batting race, batting .341 at the start of the ballgame, grounded out to the first base his first time up. He bats left-handed. Now the left-hander back to plate. This one's hit to center field. Coming on is Ashburn. He has room. Woodley looking, and Ashburn makes the catch. So they give Williams for the second time in the ballgame. That's out number one in the top of the third. Tie game at 4-4, and now the batter, Ernie Banks. Ernie walked in the first inning and scored a run. He has had 4 hits and 8 times at bat in the series, 2 of them home runs. Ernie is tied for second in the home run race in the National League. He hits one to right field. It could go all the way, going over Sicklin. It is in the stands, a home run. Ernie Banks. Ernie Banks slicing the low pitch that was outside into the lower deck of the right field stands for home run number 18. That gives the Cubs a 5-4 edge. Well, Banks has hit 2 home runs against the New York Mets this year. He's had 3 in this series. Of course, a big one in Chicago, a pinch hit home run to tie up the ballgame with 2 outs and 2 strikes on him in the ninth inning. A total of 6 home runs against the Mets this year. 6 of his 18, one-third of his home runs. And now the Cubs out in front, 5-4, and the batter is Ron Sano. Sano tripled to right center field to drive it 2 runs his first time up. He started at 247, and the first pitch to him is inside, ball one. Jackson back with a strike call. 1 ball, 1 strike, 1 out, 5-4 Cubs. And it's only the bottom of the third. Big doubleheader here on Father's Day. Left-hander with a curveball. Hit down to third base. Frank Thomas there. Up with it over to first base in time for out number 2. Frank Thomas having his first chance successfully at third base. Gene Woodling was put in left field. And Casey Stengel, in order to get more power in the lineup, moved Frank into third. He has played there before. He was originally converted to third base while playing for the Pittsburgh Pirates. 2 men down now, 5-4 game Cubs, and here's a fellow who has done something players like Johnny Mize, many others, could never do. Hit one into the center field seats. First pitch to him is outside, ball one. Lou Bach with a home run off of the batting shield in center field into the center field stand. One of 2 players to ever do this in the Polo Grounds as they're presently constructed. Swing and a foul back on the screen. Strike one. 1 ball, 1 strike. Walk 1-1 pitch to Brock is swung on and missed. Strike two. One ball, two strikes. Jackson into the windup, and the pitch back to Brock is swung on and fouled away. So the count will stay at one ball and two strikes. The Cubs got off to four big runs in the top of the first inning, but the Mets bounced back with four of their own. And they tied it up 4-4, the tie broken here in the top of the third on Banks' sixth home run against the New York Mets. Jackson down low with his next pitch, ball two. Two balls and two strikes. Brock leads the Chicago Cubs in three base hits with five. He's got good speed, and he now has hit seven home runs for the year. This is only his second season in professional ball. 2-2 pitch, bounce back to the mound. A one hopper, Jackson up with it, pops it over to first base in time to retire the side. In the inning for the Chicago Cubs, one run on a home run by Ernie Banks, the only hit. There were no errors, no one left. And the score at the end, a 2 1/2 innings of play. The Chicago Cubs 5, the New York Mets 4. Now here's a familiar tune well worth marching to. Says, people everywhere sing out, buy beers, Rheingold, the dry beer. Dry tells you why. Yes, sir. Dry tells you Rheingold has a brisk, bright, clean taste all its own. Discover the difference dry makes. Pour yourself a tall, refreshing glass of Rheingold Extra Dry. Enjoy it right along with the ball game. And that marching song certainly apropos of Flag Day here, which will be celebrated at the ballpark between games. And while we wait for the warm-up pitches to be concluded, we'll take this opportunity to pause for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady 810 on your dial, where the time is now 3 p.m. by the General Electric clock. The temperature reading is 87 degrees.
Lindsey Nelson and Bob Murphy from the Polo Grounds in New York. And we're moving now to the mid half of the third. The score 5-4 in the favor of the Cubs. And the first batter up for New York will be Frank Thomas. And Barney Schultz on the first pitch gets a strike as Thomas swings and fouls it straight back. Schultz came in the ballgame in the second inning with two men out. He pitched to Gene Woodley and got him on the ground ball to end the inning. So he is now pitching to his second man. Swing and a miss by Thomas, strike two. Schultz chooses a knuckleball for his best pitch. He also throws a slider and a curveball. He's not fast. He started pitching back in 1944. There's a knuckleball fouled back in the roof for a strike, and the count holds at 0-2. Schultz first made it to the major leagues in 1955 with St. Louis. There's a drive, but fouled down the left field side, bouncing off of the facade on the upper deck, off of the roof side. So Thomas with a long strike, and again the count stays at 0-2. 5-4 game, Cubs lead. Two-strike pitch, a knockdown pitch. Thomas moves away. Ball one. One ball and two strikes. Thomas stands right on top of the plate, but he moves very well there. 1-2 pitch, swung on and missed. Strike three. Barney Schultz, a strikeout. That's his first, the second in the game by the Cub pitchers. And it brings up Marv Thornberry. While Thornberry had a hit, then he didn't. He actually ended up at third base with a triple, at least he thought so, but he missed first base and drove in two runs, so he didn't get a base hit at all. Just two RBIs. The first pitch to Thornberry, check swing, a foul ball bouncing off of the plate, strike one. So Marv lost the base hit, and it cost the Mets a run because Charlie Neal followed with a home run. One strike pitch, a knuckleball, floats outside, ball one. One ball, one strike. Cubs with five runs on four hits. The Mets have four runs on four. started the ball game with a .254 average. There's a slider swung on, again fouled down in the dirt. So the count now. One ball and two strikes. Barney Schultz shakes no on the first side. Thornberry steps out, asks if the count is right on the board. It's wrong out there. So the umpire gives the right count. It's 1-2. Knuckleball bounced down to first base. Ernie Banks takes it, and he goes over to the bag to make the put out all by himself. Saul Schultz now has retired two in a row in this inning for two outs in the batter charting Neal. Neal with a home run to left field, his sixth of the year. And that home run tied the ball game up in the fourth inning. The Mets now need one here to tie. They trail 5-4. Charlie, one for one. Came on at .284. Right-handed batter. The first pitch to him, a strike call. A knuckleball that gets away from Old Thacker. Mel Steiner, the home plate umpire, with the job of calling the knuckleball. It's a tough pitch to call. Tough pitch to hit and a tough one to catch. One strike pitch. Knuckleball swung on a miss. Strike two. Barney Schultz at one time this year pitched in nine consecutive games. That tied the National League record. There's one hit to shallow center field. Moving back in the grass, the second baseman hops Rogers there, and they run together, and Rogers, the tall man, makes the catch. And that retires the side. Three up and three down for the Mets, and a third in the score after three innings of play. The Chicago Cubs 5-4 hits. The New York Mets 4-4. While there's still plenty of baseball action coming your way up this coming week, the Milwaukee Braves move in tomorrow for a night game. Then on Tuesday, a single game. A doubleheader on Wednesday. Thursday, an off day. And then the amazing Houston Colt 45s come into town. Colt 45s will play a tri-night doubleheader on Friday the 22nd. A ladies' day game on the 23rd, Saturday. And a doubleheader on Sunday. Colts have been red hot. They beat the Dodgers last night to cut their lead down by one. Dodgers now lead the National League by one run. So plenty of good baseball. Milwaukee with Eddie Matthews and company. Then the Colt 45s. And you can purchase tickets to all these games right here at the Polo Grounds at the advanced reservation window. It's open 7 days a week. Or downtown at Grand Central Station over in the Vanderbilt Rampside. Open 6 days a week. Also at the Grand Central Station. Make that the Pennsylvania Station in the Long Island Waiting Room. So, Grand Central Station and Pennsylvania Station open for your convenience. Top of the fourth inning, the score 5-4, and Andre Rogers leading off for the Chicago Cubs. They lead it. It'll be Rogers against Al Jackson. And then Paul Thacker and the pitcher, Barney Schultz. And the first pitch by the left-hander is down low, ball one. One ball, no strikes. Rogers single to center field. In the first inning, he is 1-for-1. He has 4-for-4 in the series against the New York Mets. Make it 4-for-5. There's a bouncing ball by the pitcher, but the shortstop Chacon has it. Throws over to first base in time for out number one. And the batter now, Mo Thacker. Mo struck out in the first inning. He is 0-for-1, batting .256. Right-handed batter, and he swings at the first pitch and fouls it into the visiting dugout. Strike one. Fielded there by Don Elson. Cubs have won the first two games of this four-game series. They won the first one 5-1 as Anderson and Girard combined to win it. Won the second one 6-3. There's a swing and again a foul. Strike two. In the second game, Cardwell and Elston combined to win that one. The season series between the Cubs and the Mets in favor of the Mets. They have won 6 and lost 4. Two-strike count, and Al Jackson back to Thacker. It's high for ball one. One ball, two strikes. J. Jackson has no record against the Cubs. He has pitched against them. That was back in April on the 16th. He worked 2 1/3 innings in that ball game, allowed 3 runs and 5 hits. He was not involved in the decision. Jackson outside with a fastball, ball 2, 2 balls and 2 strikes. Next pitch to Thacker, a check and the swing is called strike 3. So Jackson picks up a strikeout, that's his 4th in the ball game, and that's the 2nd out of the inning. And it brings up the pitcher, Barney Schultz. Say, fans, now is the time to sit back, relax, and light up a cool cigarette. As Jackson gets all set to work to Barney Schultz, his opposing pitcher. Schultz takes the first pitch, it's called ball 1. Schultz, a right-handed batter. Now Jackson back to the plate, and he's low with this one. Ball 2. 2 balls and no strikes. The 2-0 pitch to Schultz. Misses outside. Ball 3. So now Al Jackson, who was wild to start the ball game, losing the plate on the pitcher, Barney Schultz. Jackson's wildness in the first inning contributed to a 4-run first inning. 5-4 game in favor of the Cubs. There's ball 4. So Al Jackson walks the pitcher, and it brings up the leadoff man, Don Landrum. That's walk number 3 by Al. Landrum walked in the first inning as the leadoff man. He was Jackson's first walk. He later scored when Ernie Banks walked and moving down to second base. And Ron Sano tripled. The score both Landrum and Banks. First pitch to the left-handed batter is a strike call, strike 1. Landrum with a .318 batting average. Jackson back with a curveball, swung on and missed, strike 2. Jackson struck Landrum out in the 2nd inning. Now has 2 strikes and no balls there in the 4th inning as he pitches to Don Landrum. Schultz not being held on by Thronberry at first. Pitches, hit out to left field. Woodland coming on, can't get to it. Gives a decoy as though he might catch it. But Schultz not running much on the play. Holds at second base. So Landrum gets a 2-strike base hit to left field. That is hit number 5 off of Al Jackson. And it brings up Kenny Hutz. Runners now at first and second base, and Hubs, the second baseman, a right-handed batter, in the batter's box. Time call now as Al Schulman, the trainer for the Chicago Cubs, walks out to talk to Charlie Metro. Landrum has been hobbling in the outfield. Now looks as though we're going to have a pinch runner for Landrum. Bob Will running for Don Landrum. Landrum has a bad leg, and he is going out as the trainer came out, picked that injury up. So put Bob Will in, and he'll probably stay in the ballgame in right field. First pitch to Ken Hubs, down low, ball 1. Hubs 0 for 2 in the game. He struck out swinging in the first inning, then grounded back to the pitcher in the 2nd. Batting .270 for the year. Now the left-hander back to the plate. A bouncing ball to Chacon's right. He's over, up for the ball, throws to Neal at second base for the force out to retire the side. So in the inning, the Chicago Cubs pick up no runs. They had 1 hit. There were 2 men left. There were no errors. And the score at the end, the 3 1/2 innings of play, the Chicago Cubs 5, the New York Mets 4. Say, fans, wouldn't it be wonderful, wonderful if all through today's game each cigarette you smoke tastes cleaner, fresher, and actually cooler than the one before? Well, it can happen, and here's how. Listen.
Your cigarette's not tasting cool enough unless you're smoking cool. You're not smoking cool enough till you come up to cool. Cool.
Cool. Feel extra coolness in your throat. Smoke Cool Filter Kings are cool without filter. Bob Will, who came in to run for Don Landrum, has been announced officially in the ballgame as the right fielder. So if you're keeping score, put Bob Will, W-I-L-L, in right field. He'll complete the outfield of Lou Brock in center field and Billy Williams in left. Catcher in the ballgame is Moe Thackert, first base Ernie Banks, second baseman Ken Hubbs, the shortstop Andre Rogers, and the third baseman Ron Sano. And we're all set to go now in the bottom of the fourth inning. A 5-4 game, Cubs, and Sammy Jeter leading off for the Mets. And Barney Schultz's first pitch is outside, ball one. Jeter, left-handed batter, swings and pulls a pitch foul for strike one. One ball, one strike. Schultz back with a knuckleball. It's inside. Ball two. Two balls and one strike. Barney Schultz into the windup and back to Taylor. This one has swung on late and it's a strike for strike two. Sammy Taylor behind the fastball. He was surprised that Barney Schultz went to the fastball and threw it right by him. He uses this fastball as a change of pace. Curveball, slider, and knuckleball much slower than the fastball. Two balls and two strikes. And the pitch is swung on, hit down to Ernie Banks. A two-hopper. He waves the pitcher off, makes the play himself to retire the first man in the fourth inning for the New York Mets. Now the batter, Jim Hickman. Well, the New York Mets have certainly been drawing well here in the Polo Grounds. Do you know that 14 million visitors a year enjoy New York's fabulous attractions? How long has it been since you've really seen your city? New York is a summer festival for everybody. First pitch to Hickman, a slow curveball, called strike one. Jim started to go and then held up. It was a strike called by home plate umpire Mel Steiner. Pitch back to the plate is outside. Ball one. One ball, one strike. Jim is out swinging in the second inning. 0 for 1. Batting 253. Schultz back with a knuckleball. Swung on a miss, strike two. You know, when you watch a knuckleball pitcher work, it looks as though it's the easiest thing in the world to be able to pick up a base hit. It's almost like he's playing catch with a catcher. Very few knuckleball pitchers throw the knuckleball hard. The 1-2 pitch to Hickman. Called strike three. Got him looking on the outside corner. So Barney Schultz picks up a strikeout. That's his second since coming in the ballgame. And it brings up the pitcher, Al Jackson. Two men out now, bottom half of the fourth. A 5-4 game, Cubs lead. Al Jackson, the left-handed batter. He has a base hit to his credit. He singled the center field in the second inning. And the first pitch to him is popped up into shallow left field. Going back is Rogers. Coming in now, Billy really hitting him, and he makes a catch. Williams, with his glasses down, retires to side as he pulls that one in. So the Mets are out, 1-2-3 in their half of the fourth inning. The score now at the end of four innings of play. The Chicago Cubs, 5 runs on 5 hits. The New York Mets, 4 runs on 4. Now, as we go to the top of the fifth inning, on a beautiful day for baseball, here is Lindsey Nelson.
Thank you very much, Ralph Kiner. The first game of a scheduled doubleheader here at the Polo Grounds, and this concludes the current series between the Chicago Cubs and the New York Mets, and then tomorrow night, the Milwaukee Braves will be moving in with Joe Adcock and Hank Aaron and Eddie Matthews and Del Crandall, and they'll be here for a Tuesday afternoon game as well, a Ladies' Day contest, and then a midweek afternoon doubleheader that will start at 1:30 p.m. on Wednesday between the Milwaukee Braves and the New York Mets. Thursday is an off day, and then a twilight doubleheader Friday night, the first twilighter of the season here at the Polo Grounds with the Houston Colt 45s in for that one. Saturday afternoon game against the Colt 45s, and then a Sunday doubleheader. That's a 5-game series against Houston. In the National League this afternoon, At the end of 4.5 innings of play, the Philadelphia Phillies 5, the Cincinnati Reds 2. O'Toole started for Cincinnati, Dave Sisson in the 4th. Paul Brown started for the Phillies, Jack Balchin in the 4th inning. The end of 4.5 innings, the Pittsburgh Pirates 3, the Milwaukee Braves nothing. Warren Spahn is the pitcher for Milwaukee, and Harvey Haddix for Pittsburgh. St. Louis is on the coast against the Giants in the latest start. The Cole 45 at Los Angeles in a later start in the American League in the top half of the 5th inning. Cleveland Indians 4, New York Yankees nothing. Stabbing against Donovan. Homers by Kendall, Phillips, and Mahoney. All for Cleveland, of course. That's the first game of a doubleheader. And at the end of 4.5 innings to play, the Baltimore Orioles 3, the Washington Senators 2, Brown against Daniels. Right now, Billy Williams is at the plate, and Jackson deals the pitch in there low for ball one. Top half of the 5th inning at the Polo Grounds in New York. In Chicago this afternoon, the Angels and the White Sox in a doubleheader. First game at the end of 3 innings, the Angels 1, White Sox nothing. Pitch is in there for a call strike to Williams. White Sox have... Well, the Angels have just taken a 2-0 lead, batting in the top half of the 4th is Leon Wagner. Has hit 2 home runs in that ballgame, number 17 and number 18 for Wagner. Here's a swing and a high fly ball in the right center field. Over is Ashburn, and he takes it to the out. Jim Hickman backing him up. So Billy Williams, that slide high to Ashburn in center. There is one away, and Ernie Banks is coming up. Ernie Banks has walked and homered. He has scored 2 runs. The home run was number 18 for Ernie Banks. In Detroit, first game of a double hit at the end of an inning and a half. Boston 3, Detroit 2. The pitch to Banks is tight for ball one. Malzone and Goldie have each homered in that Boston-Detroit game. It's Schwall against Foytak. Ernie Banks says that that jog here has changed speed, coming in high for ball two. It's 2-0. In Cleveland, the Yanks scored once in the top of the 5th, and Cleveland scored once in the bottom of the 5th. So they're going to the 6th inning now, with Cleveland needing 5-1. The pitcher Ernie Banks is coming in for a called strike. 2-1 to Ernie Banks. Swinging a ground ball to shortstop. Elio Chacon up with it. Plays up to Mark Thornberry. In time, he's out. So Ernie Banks has grounded out. 2 men out, nobody on. And Ron Santo is coming up. The Chicago Cubs are leading the New York Mets by a score of 5-4. The Cubs scored 4 runs in the top half of the 1st inning. The Mets came back to score 4 in the bottom of the 1st. Ernie Banks had a homer with nobody on in the top of the 3rd inning. And that's where we stand, 5-4. Pitch to Sando, rocks him back a little tight, and pops out of the big glove of Sammy Taylor. He goes over to retrieve it. It's ball one. Jackson, looking in for a sign from Sammy Taylor, has it now. Dips into the windup. Here is the pitch to Sando. Swung on, it's a ground ball to shortstop. Chacon's up with it. Plays up to Thornberry in time. He's out. And the side is retired as Monsanto is grounded out short to first. And Al Jackson, with great assistance from Elio Chacon, gets the side out in order in the top half of the 1st with no runs on, no hits, no errors, and nobody left. And at the end, our 4.5 innings of play at the Polo Grounds, the score is the Cubs 5, the Mets 4. Well, you've all seen what happens when a player goes into a batting slump, but say, you fans who are smokers, did you ever find your cigarette going into a slump? That brand you've been smoking ever begin to taste hot, dry, and flat? When your cigarette begins to strike out on you, it's time you made a change, a real change. It's time you came up to cool. Fact is, your cigarette's not tasting cool enough till you come up to cool. That's because Kool's menthol magic actually brightens taste. It's refreshing all day through. You'll feel extra coolness in your throat all day long. Extra coolness no other cigarette can give you. That's why right now is the time to come up, all the way up to cool. Get Kool Filter Kings or Kool without filter. Now, on with the game. The makers of Kool are happy to be playing such a big part in bringing you these games, by the way, and they especially hope that you're enjoying this one. The New York Mets in the bottom half of the 5th inning, trailing by 1 run, will send up Richie Ashburn, Elio Chacon, and Gene Woodling. It was Richie Ashburn who started the rally in the bottom half of the 1st inning by dumping a punt along the third baseline and beating it out, so Ron Santo is way in at third base now. Here's the pitch to Ashburn, taken in there for a call, strike one. Richie choking up on the bat a little bit. He's 1-for-2 in the ballgame. Takes out fast for ball. He had a fly ball to deep right field. Bob Will, of course, is playing right field in place of Rolandrum. Rolandrum hobbled back on that ball hit by Ashburn. It's been removed. That pitch turns him in tight. Misses everybody. Comes on back, and it's 2-1. Ashman turned inside, and Thacker couldn't get the glove on the ball either. So it came right on back. That pitch is outside for ball. So it's out to 3-1 on Richie Ashford. Dolly Hemus running through the repertoire of signs. That's the coaching box at third. Ashford waits for the pitch, and he takes it. He was taking all the way. It's 3-2 right down the pipe. Here's the pitch one out. It's a fly ball going deep to right field. It is up there if it stays fair, and it is a home run for Richie Ashford. The score is 5-5. That is Ashford's second home run of the season. Richie Ashford hitting a home run into the upper deck. And the score is tied 5-5. There was no question about where it was going. The question was whether or not it was going to stay fair, and it was fair. For the home run. That pitch is tight to Elio Chacon. Barney Schultz pitching Chacon a little tight after Ashford hit the home run. That pitch is tight as ball, too. Ashford came to the major leagues in 1948. And including the one just now, he has hit only 24 home runs in his entire major league career. Ashford had an inside-the-park home run in 1959. None in 1960, none in 1961. He had a home run in Chicago last weekend and has come on with one here. This one coming at a very opportune time to tie the score. Here's a swing of the ground ball. Santo goes to the third, fires on the banks in time, and Chacon is out. One away. Nobody on base. Gene Winding is coming up. And for that home run, hit by Richie Ashman, of course, Brown and Williamson Tobacco Corporation, makers of Cool cigarettes, send 1,000 Cools to the Veterans Hospital at Northampton, Massachusetts. Gene Whittling is at the plate now. Barney Schultz with the pitch, and it goes high for ball one. Whittling in his first game ever in the uniform of the New York Mets, wearing the number 11, has walked and grounded out to first base. He takes a called strike. Whittling with his feet right together, knees together, crouches over the plate, and then strides on each pitch. Barney Schultz with a wind-up to pitch. He tried to check it, but brought it around for a strike. The umpire behind the plate is Mel Steiner. One ball and two strikes. With one man out and nobody on base for the New York Mets. With the score tied 5-5. Swinging the ground ball on the right side. It is going almost through. Knocked down. He's on it for his base. As Kitty Hutt knocked the ball down. It rolled a few feet away from him. It did not go through, but whipping it on with a base hit. Appeared to be going through the hole, and Kenny Huff, the second baseman, on the edge of the outfield fence, lunges to get a glove on it. Knock it down. It rolled a few feet away from him. Whittling stops it first with a single. His first base hit as a Met, and here is Frank Thomas coming up. Thomas playing third base today. He's single to drive and a run in the bottom half of the first inning. He struck out in the third inning. Schultz is into the stretch. Whittling leads it first. The pitch to Thomas. It's outside for a ball. Home runs in this ball game for the New York Mets by Charlie Neal and Richie Ashburn. And for the Chicago Cubs, Lou Brock, a tremendous two-run homer into the center field bleachers. Steve Banks for the home run. Curveball cut on and missed. It's 1-1. The single just achieved by Gene Whittling is his first National League hit in 15 years. He's been away. He's been in the other circuit. Barney Schultz again into the stretch. Whittling leads at first base. And here's the pitch to Frank Thomas. It's in there for call strike two. It's 2-2. Knuckleball that time. Thomas took the stride and turns to stare at Mel Steiner on the call strike. Thank you. Pitcher two pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Strike him out. And Marv Thornberry is coming up. That is the third strikeout credited to Barney Shute since he came on in relief. Thornberry's a left-hand batter. Dave Girard throwing in the bullpen for the Chicago Cubs. Dave Girard. Thornberry sent the ground ball to the right side. It's fielded by Bicey. Left to play the Shute covering. He does. It's safe at first base. A play at second base. He's safe back there. Both runners are safe. Dusty Bogus, the umpire at first. Calling Thornberry safe as Ernie Mike. Tossed underhand to Marty Shute at first. He is safe and winning at turn second, and the throw went there. He had to dive back in but got back safely. Scored as an error on pitcher Barney Shute. And Marv Thornberry is coming up. That's the third strikeout credited to Barney Shute since he came on in relief. Thornberry, the left-hand batter. Dave Girard throwing in the bullpen for the Chicago Cubs. Dave Girard. Thornberry sends a ground ball to the right side. It's fielded by Bicey. Left to play the Shute covering. He does. He's safe at first base. A play at second base. He's safe back there. Both runners are safe. Dusty Bogus, the umpire, is first. Calling Thornberry safe as Ernie Banks. Tossed underhand to Marty Shute at first. He is safe and Whitling had turned second and the throw went there. He had to dive back in but got back safely. Scored as an error on pitcher Barney Shute. It is scored as an error on Barney Shute, allowing Marv Thornberry to be safe at first base. Conference at the mound for the Chicago Cubs. And while they talk it over, in order to allow our stations to identify themselves, we pause now for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady 810 on your radio dial, where the time is now 27 minutes before 4 o'clock.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Bob Murphy and Ralph Kiner at the Polo Grounds in New York, where the New York Mets now have runners at first and second, two men out, and Charlie Neal is coming up. Charlie had a home run in the bottom half of the first inning. He popped out to shortstop in the bottom half of the third inning. The score is tied here, 5-5. The Mets have one run in here in the bottom half of the fifth. Richie Ashman's home run. Barney Shute's a right-hander working in relief of Glenn Hobby here. He's looking in to get a sign from catcher Mo Tucker. He has it now. He's into the stretch. Runners are leading at second and at first. He checks him again, and here's the pitch to the plate. Charlie Neal sends a little number down the third baseline. Thacker has it, some fair ball to throw to first. He's out. Thacker pouncing on the little number down the third baseline, and Charlie Neal has grounded out from Thacker to Ernie Banks, and in the bottom half of the fifth inning, the New York Mets got one run. On two hits, there was one error and two men left, and at the end of five innings complete at the Polo Grounds, the score is the Chicago Cubs 5 and the New York Mets 5. We're going now to the top half of the sixth inning, and leading off for the Chicago Cubs will be Lou Brock, who in the first inning this afternoon hit a home run into the center field bleachers. Now, Joe Adcock previously had been the only man ever to hit a ball into the center field bleachers at the Polo Grounds. He hit his to the left field side of the clubhouse, so Brock has become the first man ever to hit a ball into the center field bleacher area to the right side of the clubhouse, the right field side. He's 5 feet 11 inches tall. He weighs 170 pounds. That was his seventh home run. Last year at St. Cloud in the Northern League, he only hit 14 all season. Here's a pitch in there for a called strike. 22-year-old Lou Brock, left-hand batter. He mustered considerable power to send the ball way out there. Here's a swing and a miss. Strike two count. In the third inning, he grounded out, pitcher to first. After an extremely shaky start, which his control was way, way off, Al Jackson has settled down. Since that first inning, the only run he's allowed is the homer to Ernie Banks. Jackson again is set to work to Brock. Pitch comes in high for ball. It's 1-2.
Nelsana is chasing a gum wrapper. Now, gets his foot on it. And makes the catch and gets a hand. Nelsana, the umpire behind the plate. This is the first game of a doubleheader here at the Polo Grounds. Lots of baseball today. Swing and a miss. Dropped by Taylor. Picks it up. Tags him as he stands about his box. And it's a strikeout for Jackson. Fifth strikeout for Al Jackson today. And we'll bring up Andre Rogers. He's single in the first inning. He grounded out short first in the fourth inning. One for two. That pitch is a call strike to Andre Rogers. And another one right there, same place. Call strike two. Jackson into the windup and the pitch. Coming in low for a ball. It's one and two now to Andre Rogers with Mo Thacker in the on-deck circle for the Chicago Cubs. Jackson winds and fires low. It's two and two. Milwaukee Braves coming in tomorrow night. We'll be on the air at 7:55 p.m. Four-game series schedule with the Braves. Here's a swing and a miss. Jackson gets another strikeout, number six. And that brings up Mo Thacker. Thacker's been a twice struck out both times. Struck out in the first inning, struck out in the fourth inning. He's right-hand batter. Thacker's hitting 250. Into the windup, and the pitch to Thacker is taken for a call, strike one. Dips right in there. Thacker turned and looked down to Charlie Metro, some kind of sign, and Charlie just sort of gave him a shrug, like, you know, do the best you can. Swing and a miss, strike two. The score is tied, the Mets five and the Chicago Cubs five. Two-strike count to Mo Thacker. Jackson with a pitch. Fastball swung on a ground ball. He's short. Elio Chacon scoops it up like a vacuum cleaner. Over to first in time, and he's out. So Mo Thacker grounds out as Jackson again retires the side in order in the top of the sixth with no runs on, no hits, no errors, nobody left. The end of five and a half innings. The score is the New York Mets five, the Chicago Cubs five. Well, fans, it looks like some of those wonderful days we were enjoying while the Mets were in spring training in Florida are beginning to follow us up north, because this is indeed a wonderful day. And, of course, you know, wonderful days call for that wonderful beer, refreshing Rheingold Extra Dry. Yes, sir, Rheingold has a taste as big as all outdoors. A taste so brisk and bright that it just naturally goes with these great days just ahead. And just two little words, extra dry, tell you why Rheingold has a flavor all its own. They tell you that Rheingold is brewed the long, slow, costly way, brewed extra dry for extra refreshment. So why don't you stock up with Rheingold Extra Dry for those wonderful days ahead? Join the millions who say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer.
At 2 o'clock, and a Wednesday doubleheader. First game, at 1:30.
Going to the bottom half of the sixth inning, the New York Mets will send up Sammy Taylor, Jim Hickman, and Al Jackson. With the Milwaukee Braves coming in here for a four-game series, to be followed by the Houston Colt 45s, who come in for a twi-night doubleheader on Friday, single game Saturday afternoon, and a Sunday doubleheader. Tickets for all home games may be purchased now at the advance ticket window on the 8th Avenue side of the Polo Grounds. And for your shopping convenience, tickets for these and all future Mets games are on sale at the Grand Central Station at the foot of the Vanderbilt Avenue ramp and in the Long Island waiting room of the Pennsylvania Station. Reservations for reserved and box seats are accepted at all Howard Clothing stores in Greater New York. To obtain tickets by mail, write to ticket manager, Polo Grounds, New York, 39, New York. Sammy Taylor has been up twice today. He grounded out. First base unassisted both times. Barney Schultz brings the pitch a little low for ball one.
Low again, ball two. High and away. It's out 3-0 now to Sammy Taylor. New York Mets have their 5 runs on 6 hits. The Chicago Cubs have their 5 runs on 5 hits. 2 home runs each. 3-0 pitch is right down the pike for a call. Strike one, Sammy Taylor. It's in there for a call, strike two, as Sammy Taylor looked it over. He has a few words to say to umpire Mel Steiner about that one. The count is full. Dave Girard still is throwing the bullpen for the Chicago Cubs. Glenn Hobby, who started for the Cubs, worked only 1 2/3 innings this afternoon. Here's a payoff pitch. Slow curveball, belted foul into the upper deck. Now back at first base. So the count holds to Sammy Taylor of 3 balls and 2 strikes. Swinging a foul ball coming back. Count holds at 3-2 in Pittsburgh. Going to the top half of the seventh inning, the Pirates lead the Braves by a score of 7-1. Warren Spahn was the starter, going after career victory 316, but he won't get it. Pitch is outside, ball four, and he walked him. That is the first walk given up by Barney Schultz since he came in relief of Hobby, who walked 2 during his tenure. And Jim Hickman comes up now for the Mets, right-hand batter. At the end of 6 innings, the Pirates lead the Milwaukee Braves 7-0, and Spahn was relieved by Willie in the 6th, and Curtis also in the 6th. Harvey Haddix is pitching for Pittsburgh. Cal Neiman holding in the 6th with 1 on. Hickman's been up twice, struck out both times. Barney shoots with a pitch. Hickman tries to bunt. It goes off foul. New York Mets going to the sacrifice here with a runner at first. Nobody out, and scoring tied in the bottom half of the 6th inning. Pitcher Al Jackson is due up next for the New York Mets. And with no one throwing in the bullpen, the indication is that Manager Casey Stengel intends to let Jackson come out, regardless of the situation. Trying to get Taylor down there in scoring position at second base. Here is the pitch. Swing and a miss. Didn't have the sacrifice on that time. Put it on, took it off. It's 0-2. Schultz is into the stretch. Swing and a foul ball off the bat of Hickman. Barney Schultz takes a moment, goes to the rosin bag. Now up on the rubber, leans way over on one knee and looks for the sign. Has it. Now goes into the stretch. Taylor leads it first. Here's a 2-strike pitch. It's outside for ball. Rolled a few feet away from Mo Thacker. He got the mask off an area, pounced on the ball. Taylor was not going anywhere. He's anchored on the bag at first right now. Count of 1 ball and 2 strikes to right-hand batter Jim Hickman. Taylor takes his lead off the bag at first now. Schultz with a pitch, slow curveball, and he struck him out. Hickman's been up 3 times today, struck out all 3 times. Schultz has 4 strikeouts to his credit. Hobby had 2. With one away now, pitcher Al Jackson is coming up. He had a single, a clean single to center in the bottom of the second. He flied to left in the 4th. He's 1-2 this afternoon. Al Jackson getting a hand as he continues on up to the plate. He had a rocky first inning and then settled down. Jackson's a left-hander all the way. Bats left as well as throws left. Has good speed. Has a pitch high and tight. It's ball one. Knuckleballing Barney Schultz is the pitcher. Jenny is set to work. Here's a pitch to Jackson. He pops it up into the air trying to drag it, and Schultz makes the catch himself, and Taylor hustles back to the bag at first. Al Jackson trying a drag bunt. Instead, it was popped up along the first baseline. It was high enough in the air to allow Barney Schultz to come down off the mound and make the catch. Richie Ashburn coming up and getting a hand. Two away, runner at first. Ashburn. Single to start the rally in the bottom half of the first inning. Fly deep to right in the second inning and homered into the upper deck in right field in the fifth inning. He is up here now with the score tied. The Cubs 5 and the Mets 5. Two men out, a runner at first, bottom half of the sixth inning. Pitch is low for ball. Barney Schultz from Beverly, New Jersey. Pitching for the Cubs. He's 35 years old. 6'2", weighs 200. Joined the Cubs on June 11th last season and came into his own as an expert relief specialist. That pitch is in there for a call strike to Ashburn. The early part of last season, Barney Schultz with Houston in the American Association had a 6-1 record. That got him up to the parent club in a hurry, and he won 7 games in relief for the Cubs. He saved 6 others. He has a count now 1-1 to Richie Ashburn. The pitch misses low and away for a ball. It's 2-1. Schultz looking in for a sign. Banks is not holding Taylor on at first base with two men out, and here's the pitch to Ashburn low, and it's out 3-1 now to the leadoff man in the batting order of the New York Mets. Ashburn needs just 13 more base hits to have achieved 2,500 base hits in his playing career. Schultz again is into the stretch. Caleb left to start, and Schultz stepped off the rubber. Looking in for another sign now. Has it into the stretch. Taylor leads. Left to start, and the pitch is taken in there for a call strike. He was taking all the way. Throws out 3-2, and Taylor this time will be off with the pitch. Barney Schultz leans over to get the sign. Banks, of course, trying to hold the runner on. Taylor moves, and the pitch is inside. He walked in. So Richie Ashburn goes to first base. That moves Sammy Taylor to second. That is the second walk given up by Barney Schultz, both of them this inning. And Elio Chacon is coming up at first. Charlie Metro, the head coach of the Chicago Cubs, is going to the mound. He has had Dave Girard warming up, and Girard goes over to the bench now to get his jacket. Towels off. Sign has gone to the bullpen, and that's going to be all for Barney Schultz. He has pitched a total of 4 innings, in which he has given up 1 run on 2 hits. Struck out 4 and walked 2. That's the book on Barney Schultz as Dave Girard is walking in from the bullpen. The third Cub pitcher of the afternoon. Schultz, of course, responsible for the runners he is leaving at first and second with 2 men out. Elio Chacon will be the first man faced by Dave Schultz. And while Girard is coming on, let's take a look at scores of other games. There's lots of action today in the major leagues, in the National League. The end of 6 innings of play. The Philadelphia Phillies 6, the Cincinnati Reds 2. Jim O'Toole started for Cincinnati, Dave Sisson in the fourth inning. Paul Brown started for Philadelphia, Jack Balchin in the fourth inning. Going to the top half of the seventh, the Pittsburgh Pirates 7, the Milwaukee Braves nothing. Warren Spahn started, Carl Willie in the sixth, Jack Curtis in the sixth, Harvey Haddix had come all the way for Pittsburgh, Cal Neiman over in the sixth with one on. The St. Louis Cardinals at San Francisco against the Giants, the latest start. Houston Colt 45s at Los Angeles against the Dodgers, the latest start. American League, first game of a doubleheader. Going to the bottom half of the sixth inning, the Cleveland Indians 5, the New York Yankees 1. Bill Stafford for New York, Dick Donovan started for Cleveland. Bouton has relieved Stafford in the sixth inning for the New York Yankees. Homers by Kendall Phillips and Mahoney for the Cleveland Indians. Going to the top half of the sixth inning, the Baltimore Orioles 3 and the Washington Senators 3. Brown started for Baltimore, Fisher in the fifth. Daniels started, he's come all the way. Benny Daniels for the Washington Senators. Hicks and Hinton have homered in the ballgame. First game of a doubleheader, the Los Angeles Angels at Chicago against the White Sox at the end of 5 innings of play. The Angels 2, the White Sox nothing. Dean Chance going for Los Angeles. The Dodge is going for the White Sox. Leon Wagner just 2 home runs. Number 17 and number 18 in that ballgame. The Yankees, incidentally, did not score in the top of the seventh, so going to the bottom half of the seventh inning, it's the Cleveland Indians 6 and the New York Yankees 1. Cleveland got 1 in the bottom half of the sixth to make it 6-1. Cleveland over the Yanks going to the bottom half of the seventh inning. Minnesota Twins play the Kansas City A's a single game. Latest start, Kralik against Wickersham. Doubleheader Boston at Detroit. First game going to the bottom half of the fourth inning. The Red Sox lead the Tigers 5-3. Don Schwall against Paul Foytek. Malzone, Goldie at twice, and Cash have homered in the ballgame. For now, Goldie's hit 2 home runs. Norm Cash has hit 1. Frank Malzone has hit 1. So that's how things are going elsewhere right here at the Polo Grounds in New York. It's a 5-5 tie with the Mets batting in the bottom half of the sixth inning. National Open playoff this afternoon between Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus. At the end of 9, Nicklaus up by 3 now. Jack Nicklaus, one of the fine young golfers of this country, formerly of Ohio State University with a home in Columbus, Ohio, heading for his first National Open title, playing it off with Arnold Palmer and leading. Here's the pitch now to Elio Chacon, swung on at the fly ball high to center field. Lou Brock has plenty of room. He's over underneath and he takes it for the out. So Dave Girard comes in. To get Chacon on a high fly to center, and in the bottom half of the sixth, the Mets get no runs on no hits. There were no errors, and there were two men left. The end of 6 full innings of play, the score is the Chicago Cubs 5, the New York Mets 5, and coming in here right now, Bob Murphy.
Thank you very much, Lindsay. We'll be going along to the seventh inning, and Dave Girard, who came out of the bullpen to get Elio Chacon on a fly ball to right center, will be leading off against little Al Jackson. Game tied 5-5. Cubs 5 runs on 5 hits and 1 error. The New York Mets 5 runs on 6 hits and 1 error. Doubleheader today against Chicago. Bertie Tebbets bringing the Milwaukee Braves in for a 4-game series with a night game tomorrow night. A day game Tuesday and our midweek doubleheader on Wednesday afternoon. That will start at 1:30. Next Thursday, an open day and then a 5-game series against the Houston Colt 45. Last night before 51,000 on the West Coast. Turk Farrell hurled a three-hitter as the Colt 45s beat the Dodgers 3-1. The Giants were winning, and so the Giants moved within one game of first place in the National League. So we hope you're planning to be with us right here at the Polo Grounds, 155th and 8th Avenue, for a lot of the baseball excitement that will take place during the week, counting today's doubleheader. 4 doubleheaders in 8 days. Today, Wednesday afternoon against Milwaukee, our first twi-nighter of the season, Friday evening, against Houston, and then next Sunday, a doubleheader with Houston. You know, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. How about you? Just about enough time now to open up or order up a Rheingold before the action starts again. Dave Girard, leading off, takes the pitch low, ball one. Dave Girard did an outstanding relief job in the opener of this series on Friday night. Wind up in the pitch by Jackson, a swing and a miss. One ball, one strike. Charlie Metro brought Dave Girard in to relieve Bob Anderson Friday night. He retired 8 of 9 hitters. He gave up only one hit and saved the 5-1 win for Bob Anderson. A 1-1 pitch by Jackson, a bouncing foul hit back toward the visiting dugout and out of play. One ball, two strikes. Nobody on, nobody out. We're in the seventh inning. The game tied up 5-5. Next pitch by Jackson, just off the outside edge. Two balls and two strikes. Al has walked three men, struck out six. Allowed five runs, five base hits. Pitching two and two. He struck him out, swinging. Number seven for Al Jackson. Al gave up four runs on three hits in the opening inning. Since then, has allowed only one run, given up just two base hits. All four of the runs scored by the Cubs in the opening inning were unearned runs as the result of an obstruction called on Mara Thornberry, which is an error. Now, Bob Will is batting for the first time. He replaced Don Landrum after Landrum singled in the fourth inning. Jackson out of his land at the pitch. Outside and low, it's ball one. Landrum was forced out of the game with an ailing leg. Landrum has been playing real good ball for the Cubs. Swing and a miss on a breaking ball. One ball and one strike. Bob Will, utility outfielder, left-hand hitter. Elio Chacon playing him as a pull hitter. He shades over towards second. Frank Thomas, even with the bag, wide of the line at third. The 1-1 pitch. Foul ball. He hit it late. Off to the left side and out of play. One ball and two strikes. Bob Buell and Bob Miller are the scheduled pitchers for the second game of today's doubleheader. 1-2 delivery. Fouled again right straight back. Ball hits the screen and rolls up toward the press box. This is the 11th game of the year between the Mets and Cubs. Mets have won 6 out of 10 games played. Pitching 1-2. Popped up on the left side of the infield. Elio Chacon drifting back into short left, and Elio takes it for the out. Now there are two away on the top of this seventh inning, and the hitter will be Ken Hubbs. Hubbs, the rookie second baseman, hitless and three times up. Has struck out, grounded out pitcher to first, and bounced into a fourth place started by the shortstop. Hubbs batting at 269. He's had about 2.5 years in pro ball. Last year he played at Wenatchee in Class B. Good-looking ball player. He makes the plays around second base, and he's hit more than they thought he would. Outside, it's ball one. Billy Williams waiting on deck. A line drive caught by Elio Chacon, and the side is out. Hard line drive. Elio, lunging to his left, made the grab, and the side is out. And Al Jackson has now retired 10 straight hitters. In the seventh inning, no runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. So it's seventh inning stretch time, and at the end of 6.5 innings, the score, the Chicago Cubs 5 and the New York Mets 5. Now Gene Woodling will come out to lead off against Dave Girard in the last half of the seventh inning. Girard, the third pitcher, used in the game by Charlie Metro. Barney Schultz turned in a good relief job. The veteran knuckleballer in four innings gave up just one run, allowed only two base hits. Crowd getting enthusiastic now. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball in there, strike one call. Dave Girard was 11-9 at Houston last year. Almost 6 years of seasoning in the minor leagues. He turned in a top-notch relief job on Friday night. Girard, right-hander with good size, winds and pitches, a swing and a miss on a fastball, strike two. Woodling has 1-for-2 in the game. Gene drew a walk in the first, grounded out to the first baseman in the second, and got a base hit in the fifth inning. Gerard Winding, the two-strike pitch, swing and a miss. He struck him out on a breaking ball. First strikeout for Dave Gerard, one out and nobody on. The relief hurlers have been tough to handle. Frank Thomas has one hit in three times. Frank singled, driving in a run, his 38th RBI in the first inning of the game. For the Cubs, Sano has tripled in two runs. Brock, a two-run homer, and Banks, a bases-empty home run for their five runs. Outside and low, backhanded by Mo Thacker. One ball and no strikes. For the New York Mets, Thomas singled in the first run. Groenberry tripled in the next two, but lost the triple when he failed to touch first base. Neal hit a home run to tie the game, and Ashburn, after the Mets fell behind a second time, hit a home run to tie it. Ball two, two balls and no strikes. Marv Groenberry crouched in the on-deck circle, and then Charlie Neal. Last half of the seventh inning, the game tied 5-5. Over his head, Dave Gerard. Down comes the arm. Swing and a miss on a slider. Two balls and a strike. Harvey Haddix has the Milwaukee Braves shut out for seven now, with the Pirates in front 7-0 at the end of seven. Pitching 2-1. Fastball over, a real blazer, and the count is even now at 2-2 on Frank Thomas. Mets, with their revised batting order, have three strong men now in the middle of that batting order in Gene Whitling, Frank Thomas, and Marv Groenberry. All have real good power when they get a hold of one. Dave Gerard winds and pitches. Outside and low, it's ball three. And we have a full count, 3-2. Coming week is certainly one of the busiest weeks of the year at the Polo Grounds, counting today's doubleheader, four doubleheaders in 8 days. The homestand winding up with a doubleheader against Houston next Sunday. Here's the payoff pitch to Thomas. A ground ball bounced down to third, taken on a hop by Sano. The peg to Banks is in time, and Thomas is out. Two up and two set aside by Dave Gerard in relief. And now the hitter is Marv Groenberry. Marv lost the hit when he failed to touch first in the opening inning, but knocked two runs in. Grounded out to the first baseman in the third, and reached safely on an error charge to the pitcher covering at first base in the fifth inning. Now Groenberry cattailing that bat around Coxes. Infield and the outfield around to right. Inside, down around the ankles, ball one. Sally Hemus talking it up on the coaching lines at third. Cookie Lavagetto directing at first. Game tied 5-5. Now the pitch by Gerard. And he's high with it. Ball two, 2-0. Charlie Neal waiting on deck, hoping that Groenberry can save him a stick here in the last half of the seventh. The cheering section for the Mets now, saying, "Let's go, Mets." Now the 2-0 pitch. Foul ball back to the screen. Mel Steiner, the umpire, firing a new ball into play. Count 2-1 on Groenberry. For the New York Mets, little Al Jackson has gone all the way. For the Chicago Cubs, Glenn Hobby was replaced by Barney Schultz in the second. Schultz replaced by Dave Gerard in the sixth inning. Pitching 2-1. Way outside, it's ball three. 3-1 the count now on Marv Groenberry. Marv Groenberry and several other of the members of the New York Mets. Now the school is out, would like very much to move their families to New York for the summer if they can find a furnished house to rent someplace. If you know of one, don't call, but write, Housing, the Polo Grounds, New York 39. Pitching 3-1. A drive foul deep down the left field line. That's upstairs, but a foul ball. Over the scoreboard and into the upper deck, but a foul ball by 10 or 15 yards. So the count is full, 3-2 on Thornberry. Gerard into his windup. Here's the payoff pitch. Strike three called. A fastball in the inside corner, and Thornberry is called out. A very strong inning for Dave Gerard. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left on. And now seven innings complete on the score. The Chicago Cubs 5 and the New York Mets 5. In the eighth inning, Al Jackson will be up against the real big hitters in that Chicago Cub batting order. Billy Williams, Ernie Banks, and Ron Santo. Billy Williams up, and the pitch is in there, strike one call. Williams hitting at 337, has grounded out Thornberry to the pitcher Jackson covering, and twice lied to Richie Ashburn. Rangy left-hand hitter leans away, and the breaking ball is inside. One ball and one strike. Williams only 24 years old. Now Jackson out of his windup. In comes his pitch. A high pop-up on the right side of the infield. Charlie Neal and Thornberry converge, Charlie calling. And Neal takes it on the rim of the outfield grass, one down. So Al Jackson, four times in a row, has held in check Billy Williams. One away and nobody on now in the top of the eighth inning, and that brings up Ernie Banks. Ernie has been a real thorn in the side of the New York Mets. Ernie has hit six of his 18 home runs this year off the Mets. He knocked in four of their six runs in the victory yesterday, and he homered in the third inning today for Ernie of 18th home run. Strike one call, the breaking ball over at the knees. Ernie, feet close together, strides, checks the swing, and it's a foul ball off to the right going into the crowd. Two-strike count on Ernie Banks. Ernie started the year with 298 home runs. Has already hit 18 this season for a total of 316. A drive hit hard to left field. That's toward the base of the wall. It's off the wall. Woodling can't play the carom. Hustling over to back up is Ashburn. Banks goes into second base, standing up with a double. He hit a breaking ball, a hard line drive that took off like a shot. Right up against the left field wall, it caromed away, and Ashburn backed up in left center and played it back in. Al Jackson had retired 11 straight men. Ernie Banks really in that good groove now. He's hitting the ball for distance and hitting those hard, sharp line drives. Now the Cubs have the tie-breaking run on second with one down on the top of the eighth inning. The batter is Ron Santo. Santo hit a booming triple to right center field, driving two runs in the first. Since then, has grounded out twice. Ernie Banks leading off second, one man down. Jackson off the stretch. Delivers a foul ball, headed toward the upper deck, but out of play. A foul ball all the way. Double by Ernie Banks, the sixth hit in the game for the Chicago Cubs. Jackson gave up three of the six in the opening inning. He had cut down 11 straight until Banks doubled. Mets have Chacon and Neal playing Santo to hit the ball up the middle. A ground ball toward the middle. Chacon to his left. He has it. The runner goes to third. The peg to Thornberry in time. Good defensive position by Elio Chacon, and he went over close to second to handle the ground ball. Now moving on to third goes Ernie Banks, and coming up to hit is Lou Brock. Brock has one for three, and that one hit was, in a sense, a history-making hit, and that it carried into the right center field bleachers. It was the first one ever belted there. Back in 53, Adcock hit one into the left center field bleachers. Frank Thomas, even with the bag, wide of the line at third. Jackson out of his windup pitches. He runs up as if to bunt, lays off of it, it's outside. One ball and no strikes. The Cubs have Big Bob Anderson cranking up in their bullpen. Ken McKenzie loosening up for the New York Mets. Jackson out of his windup. Now the pitch. A blooper hit towards short left field. That's trouble. It's in for a base hit. In to score comes Ernie Banks. On his way to second is Brock to throw to second. The slide. Safe. He's in head first with a double. Lou Brock hit that one right off of the fifth. And seems to have been shaken up with his head first slide going into second base. Coach Buck O'Neill, Charlie Metro, the acting head coach, and other Cubs converging around Lou Brock now to see if he's all right. He seemed to knock the wind out of himself with that head first slide going into second. So the Cubs have taken the lead 6-5. Al Jackson made a real good pitch on Lou Brock. Brock, a left-hand hitter. He hit the ball right off the fifth, hit a soft liner just beyond the reach of Elio Chacon, and into left field. He has great running speed. He just kept going, and by the time anybody could reach that ball, he went in head first with a double, and the Cubs are out in front 6-5. So Brock picks up his third RBI of the game and his second extra base hit. Five of the seven hits by the Chicago Cubs have been for extra bases. Two doubles, a triple, and two home runs. The hitter now is Andre Rogers. Brock is all right, takes his lead off second. Here's the pitch by Al Jackson. In the dirt, a breaking ball. One ball and no strike. Their base hits any way you look at them, and they count just as much as the ones you hit 500 feet. Nonetheless, it must be heartbreaking to a pitcher when he makes a real good pitch, only to have it turn into a base hit. Chopped foul off the plate down the third baseline. One ball and one strike at Andre Rogers. Rogers one hit and three times up. He's single back in the first inning. Five, Chicago out in front, top of the eighth inning, first game of a doubleheader. Here's the pitch by Al Jackson, breaking ball in the dirt, two balls and a strike. Rogers hitting at 289. Now Jackson ready, the 2-1 pitch. In the dirt again, Taylor digging it out. Ball three, 3-1. You see how Jackson throws pitches in the dirt. It isn't necessarily done accidentally. Three-one delivery. A little bit low, ball four, and Rogers is on. That'll bring up Mo Thacker. That's the fourth walk given up by Jackson. He gave up two of the four in the opening inning when Chicago scored four of their six runs. Mo Thacker has been up three times without a hit, struck out twice and grounded out short to first. Now the pitch on the way. He holds up and it just misses ball one. Little Al Jackson, working on a hot day, has thrown a lot of pitches. He's trying to reach back now and get that something extra to get out of the jam. Now the pitch on the way. A ground ball bounced to shortstop. Chacon in front of it, flips the ball to Charlie Neal, and the side is out. In the top of the eighth inning. For the Cubs, they score one run on two hits. No errors, two left on. And now at the end of seven and a half innings to score, the Cubs 6 and the Mets 5. Mets a run behind now as they come up against Bob Anderson in the last half of the eighth inning. Dave Girard worked an inning and a third and retired four in a row. But the Cubs are going now with Bob Anderson as we move into the last half of the eighth inning. Anderson was the winning pitcher in the opener of this series on Friday night. He pitched five and a third. Big blonde right-hander who can really throw hard. He throws about as hard as anybody. He actually worked, checking back on our figures, six and a third on Friday night. He gave up one run, allowed only five hits, walked two, and struck out three.
He was relieved in that game by Dave Girard, and Girard turned in a fine relief job. Two and a third, two and two-thirds, he allowed only one hit.
Now, as they come up against Bob Anderson in the last half of the eighth inning, Dave Girard worked an inning and a third and retired four in a row. But the Cubs are going now with Bob Anderson as we move into the last half of the eighth inning. Anderson was the winning pitcher in the opener of this series on Friday night. He pitched five and a third. Big blonde right-hander who can really throw hard. He throws about as hard as anybody. He actually worked, checking back on our figures, six and a third on Friday night. He gave up one run, allowed only five hits, walked two, and struck out three. He was relieved in that game by Dave Girard, and Girard turned in a fine relief job. Two and a third, two and two-thirds, he allowed only one hit. Retired eight of nine men that he faced. And Girard, effective again today, he came in to retire four straight men. So Bob Anderson, who has won one and lost four this year, he was a loser in relief and has been turned into a starting pitcher by Charlie Metro, and as a starter has been pitching exceptionally well. So if the Mets are to tie this ball game up in the last of the eighth inning, they'll have to do it against a fresh pitcher. In the last of the eighth inning, Charlie Neal, Sammy Taylor, and Jim Hickman will be coming up against Bob Anderson. Everyone very happy to hear that Clem Levine has sent in his acceptance to participate in the Old Timers game on the 14th of July here at the Polo Grounds. Clem, who pitched a magnificent 10-0 shutout win in the second game of that three-game playoff series right here on the Polo Grounds, will be joining Hall of Famer Jackie Robinson, Big Jim Hearn, Bobby Thompson, and Ralph Branca, plus many more that'll be coming in for the two-inning Old Timers game on July the 14th as the New York Mets salute those two great ball clubs that were in that playoff. Now Charlie Neal is up, last half of the eighth. Ball one as he lays off of it. Charlie has one hit and three times up, and that was a long home run. For Charlie, his sixth homer of the year. Neal hitting at 287. Bob Anderson out of his windup, the big right-hander's pitch. Misses a breaking ball. Two balls and no strikes. Well, we have our first final score. The Pittsburgh Pirates beat the Milwaukee Braves 7-3. Harvey Haddix the winner, Warren Spahn the loser. Pittsburgh 7 runs on 11 hits and no errors. The Braves 3-8-1. Pitch to Neal. He bluffs it a bunt. He's taking all the way, and it's outside. Ball three. Now Mo Thacker walks slowly toward the mound before returning the ball to Bob Anderson. Bob Anderson, a real strong-armed right-hander, served mainly as a relief pitcher last year. He got in 45 ball games in relief. He started 12 ball games. He won 7 and lost 10. Pitching 3-0. Strike one call. Neal squared around, bluffing at the bunt. He had to take sign all the way and then had to jump quickly out of the way. Charlie thought that might have been ball four. Now Charlie Metro has his relief ace, Don Elston, getting ready in the bullpen. Cub relief pitching has been outstanding in this ballgame. Three-one pitch by Anderson, a high fly ball into left center field. Lou Brock runs out from under his cap, settles under it, and makes the catch for the out. So Anderson, behind on the count, 3-0, comes back to get Charlie Neal on an outfield fly. One down in the home eighth inning, and Sammy Taylor coming up. The first game is all over in Cleveland. Dick Donovan winning his 10th of the year against two losses. Cleveland defeating the Yankees by a score of 6-1. Bill Stafford the loser. Curve in the dirt. One ball and no strikes to Sammy Taylor. Sammy 0 for 2. Twice is grounded out to the first baseman Ernie Banks. In the sixth inning, he drew a walk. In the Cleveland game, it was Cleveland 6 runs on 10 hits and 1 error. The Yankees 1 run, 11 hits and 1 error. Donovan the winner and Stafford the loser. Next pitch to Sammy Taylor. He tried to hold up, and it's over, a call strike. Now Bob Anderson sliding in on his target, the 1-1 pitch. Blazing fastball inside, 2-1. Anderson reminds you a little bit of Turk Farrell, the way he fires that ball. He's big and he's strong and he throws hard. Pitching 2-1. Whacked foul back toward the crowd and out of play. 2-2 now on Sammy Taylor. Casey Stengel has Ken McKenzie warming up in the bullpen. Don Elston warming up for Chicago. A day like this, then all you need to warm up is to run a comb through your hair. Now Anderson double pumps. Around comes the right arm. Curve is outside. Ball 3, and the string is out. 3-2 on Sammy Taylor. Chicago 6 runs on 7 hits, 1 error. New York Mets 5 runs on 6 hits and 1 error. Now the payoff pitch. Ball 4 is outside. The tying run is on. Sammy Taylor jogging down to first with his second straight walk. And on to hit now will be Jim Hickman. Jim has had a tough time at the plate so far today. He's been up 3 times and struck out 3 times. Now Sally Amos is asking that play be held up. We're going to have a pinch runner. Joe Christopher will run for Sammy Taylor. Joe Christopher running now for Sammy Taylor. Al Jackson is scheduled up next. Mets now have a tying run. Joe Christopher on first, one man away, last half of the eighth inning. Anderson into his stretch. Here's the pitch. Too high, and that one almost nicked him on the ear. Now Anderson makes the 1 second stop. Here's his pitch. And it's over for a call strike. Hickman started to go, then decided to hold up. One ball, one strike. Chicago regained the lead on doubles by Ernie Banks and Lou Brock in the top of the eighth inning. Mets trying to battle back for the third time in the game. Now the pitch. He's around, bluffs it about. The pitch is over, a strike. Throw to first, not in time. Real flurry of action. Mo Thacker fired down to Ernie Banks trying to get Joe Christopher. One ball and two strikes now to Jim Hickman. Jim squared around that time to bunt. Now Christopher takes his lead. And the pitch to Hickman, a ground ball hit slowly towards shortstop. Over to second for one, on to first, and it's in time for the double play. Rogers to Hubs to Banks. Cubs make a big double play there. Side out in the last half of the eighth inning with no runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. And now 8 innings complete, and the score The Chicago Cubs 6 and the New York Mets 5. And now, while the teams are changing sides, Ralph will bring you up to date on the scores of other games and carry along the play-by-play.
Okay, Bob, here's the final score in that Philadelphia ball game. The Philadelphia Phillies 7, the Cincinnati Reds 2. The winning pitcher was Balsham in relief in the ball game, and the losing pitcher was the starter O'Toole. Line score, the Philadelphia Phillies 7 runs on 9 hits, Cincinnati Reds 2 runs on 8. At Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Pirates defeated Milwaukee 7-3. As Lawrence Bond, looking for his 316th victory, picked up the loss. The winning pitcher in the ballgame was Harvey Haddix. St. Louis will play at San Francisco. That game just getting underway. Brogdale going for the Cardinals. Sanford pitching for the San Francisco Giants. Houston at Los Angeles. That game starting at a later time. In the American League, at the end of two innings of play, the Kansas City Athletics won the Minnesota Twins 0, Kralik and Wickersham. In the first game of two, the Detroit Tigers out in front of the Boston Red Sox by the score of 8-5. Pitching in the game for Boston now, Cisco in place of Swall, and Boychak going for Detroit. Home runs in that game, Miles Zone, goalie, two of them, Cash's 16th, and Calavito. Also in the American League, the Cleveland Indians defeated the New York Yankees in the first game of two by the score of 6-1. The winning pitcher in the ball game, Donovan, he won his 10th of the year. He has only lost two. The losing pitcher, Stafford, he was a starter. Kendall, once again, a home run with a man on. Phillips, a home run, and Mahoney. The second game just about getting underway. At Washington, in a single game, the Baltimore Orioles out in front by a score of 4-3 through eight innings of play. Wilhelm now pitching for Baltimore. Daniels in for the Washington Senators. At Chicago, the Los Angeles Angels leading the Chicago White Sox 4-2 through seven innings of play. Walensky now in the ballgame for the Angels in relief. He came in the sixth. Kimmerer pitching for the Chicago White Sox. Wagner has had two home runs in that game, his 17th and 18th. And that's the first game of two. Right here, we're all set to go as Al Jackson pitches to Bob Anderson, and he picks up a strike call. Anderson batting for the first time. He came in the ballgame in relief. He is the fourth pitcher used by the Chicago Cubs. The score of the game, 6-5 in their favor. Now the left-hander back with a fastball, a halfway swing, strike two. Bob Anderson, the pitcher, a right-handed batter. He'll be followed by the leadoff man, Bob Will. A two-strike pitch is outside, ball one. Two balls and one strike. Now Jackson back to the plate. A swing and a foul ball off of the plate. Now catching in the ballgame for the New York Mets, Chris Cannizzaro. Chris making his first appearance since being sent down to Rochester in the International League. He has a dislocated right finger, his little finger on his right hand. There's a pitch that's pulled foul, so the count will stay at one ball and two strikes. Marv Drovery at first base, Charlie Neal, the second baseman, Enos Chacon at short, and Frank Thomas at third. Gene Woodling in left, in center field, Richie Ashburn, and in right field, Jim Hickman. And on the mound now, Al Jackson. 6-5 game, top of the ninth inning, Cubs lead. There's a fastball line to left, the base hit. Gene Woodling coming over, picks it up and throws it in. So Bob Anderson picks up a base hit to help his guys. That puts a runner at first base with no one out, and the batter now, Bob Will. And Will going down the third baseline to talk it over with Charlie Metro, the current head coach of the Chicago Cubs. He's going to get the signals verbally as to what he'll be doing here. A base hit by Bob Anderson. That is the eighth hit off Al Jackson. Al has given up six runs. Four of them were unearned. They came in the first inning. He has pitched fine ball in the ball game. Cubs took the lead in the eighth inning when Ernie Banks doubled off the wall in left field. He's been tough in the Mets all during the series. Then scored when Brock blooped the double to left field. There's the square around for the bunt, but Will takes high, ball one. Frank Thomas charging from third base and also Mark Thronberry from first. Ken McKenzie throwing in the bullpen for the Mets. He's a left-hander. Now Will Bunch is out by first base. Thornberry up with it, does not go to second base, and throws to first base instead, and covering there, Charlie Neal for out number one. Thornberry got that bunt. It was bunt fairly hard on the right on the line. He went to go to second base and found out he didn't have time to get his man there. And in the interim, Bob Will, a fast man, had passed him by, and Thornberry had to turn around quickly to throw to Charlie Neal to pick up the man there. It'll go as a sacrifice bunt, and now the Chicago Cubs are the man at second base, and the batter is Ken Hubbs. Cubs, the second baseman, batting right-handed. 6-5 game, Cubs lead, top of the ninth inning. Anderson out at second base, does not have his jacket on. It's a warm day here in the Polo Grounds. Jackson's first pitch to Hubs. A curveball, it's low, ball one. The on-deck batter, left-hander, Billy Williams. So this is a big man for Al Jackson. Back to the plate with a curve. It's low for ball two. Two balls and no strikes on Hubs, the second baseman. Jackson in the stretch, checking the runner at second base. And now back to the plate. Low, ball three. Three balls and no strikes. So Jackson with Billy Williams in the on-deck circle. 3-0 to Ken Hubbs. The 3-0 pitch to Hubbs. Outside corner, strike call. So Jackson picks up a strike right at the knees. Three balls and one strike. Second game, we'll see Bob Buell against Bob Miller. Right here is Al Jackson pitching to Ken Hubbs. Then the 3-1 pitch is low for ball four. That puts Hubbs at first base. Runners at first and second now. And the batter is Billy Williams. And it brings Casey Stengel out of the dugout. Well, Casey has a left-hander warming up. Billy Williams, a left-handed batter. So this could be all for Al Jackson. He is certainly looking tired. He has gone a long way. He's been in the ballgame for 8 1/3 innings. Say, while Casey Stengel goes out to the mound, and we'll have a short break in the action, why don't you check your glass and make sure you've got plenty of Rheingold on hand. Good time to open up or order up a Rheingold. There's a sign out to left field. And in the ballgame now, we'll see Ken McKenzie. And while Ken walks in from the bullpen, we'll take this opportunity now to pause for station identification.
This is WGY's Schenectady, where you can hear all the games of the New York Mets. For baseball, for the best in music, for comprehensive, reliable news reporting, stay tuned to WGY.
Well, it's 90 degrees out here at the ballpark, and it's a beautiful day for baseball. First game of two, so if you're in the area, why don't you steer right into 155th and 8th Avenue. Catch that second game and part of this one right now. Still plenty of baseball action coming your way. Well, Al Jackson pitched a very good baseball game for the New York Mets. He was the victim of 4 unearned runs in the first inning. He has given up a total of 6 runs, so only 2 earned. He worked 8 1/3 innings, and he's getting the fine hand as he leaves the ballpark. Al Jackson. Last outing, a fine effort against the Colt 45. So now he has certainly demonstrated that he is one of the top pitchers on the New York Mets. In his 8 1/3 innings, he gave up 8 base hits, struck out 7 batters, and walked only 4. 2 of those walks came in the first inning when the 4 unearned runs crossed the plate. Now Ken McKenzie, a left-hander in. Ken, a Yale graduate, has been used in relief by the New York Mets. This will be Ken's 21st game. And he has pitched a total of 33 innings. In that time, giving up 37 hits, allowing only 17 runs. He has a 2-2 record. And in 33 innings, he struck out 23. Last time out, he was very sharp and very fast. Ken McKenzie. I believe that Bob Murphy told you earlier that Clem Levine, who started this season with the Mets, has accepted an invitation to appear in the Old Timers Day celebration here at the Polo Grounds on Saturday, July 14th. Clem, you remember, is one of the Dodgers who has somewhat of a happy memory about that playoff series. He won a game 10-0, a shutout. So it'll be Clem Levine, along with many other stars, in the July 14th All-Star Game, composed of players in the 1951 playoff series. That game will precede the regular scheduled game between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Mets. The first pitch by Ken McKenzie to Billy Williams, a strike call on the outside corner. Williams 0 for 4 in this ball game. Started the game as the second man in the National League Hit Parade, trailing Philippe Alou in batting percentage. One strike pitch, hit deep to right, left center field. It'll go for extra bases. Anderson scoring easily from second base. Coming around from first, Ken Hobbs. He will score. Going to third base now, Billy Williams. The throw does not come in there. He is safe. So a stand-up triple by Billy Williams. He actually slid in the play, but didn't have to. Ashikon took the relay throw and walked it on in. A stand-up triple by Billy Williams gives the Chicago Cubs two runs batted in. And they lead it now 8-5. And those two runs will be charged against the starting pitcher, Al Jackson. Now the batter with the infield in is Ernie Banks. First pitch to the right-handed batter, a curveball, strike one call. There's one out. Eight to five game now in favor of the Cubs. Strike two, Ernie Banks takes, and it's two strikes on the big first baseman. 0-2. Two-strike pitch is inside. Ball one, one ball, two strikes. Now McKenzie back to the plate. This one is swung on and missed for strike three. So McKenzie picks up a strikeout. Ernie Banks going down swinging for out number two, and that brings up the third baseman, Ron Santo. Ron has had a triple and four times up in the ballgame. He bats from the right-hand side. The first pitch, a curveball, breaking over the plate. Strike one. McKenzie back to Santo with a breaking pitch that's pulled foul by the third base coaching box for strike two. Two strikes and no balls. 8-5 game. Cubs lead. Top of the ninth inning. Now the relief pitcher McKenzie back with a two-strike pitch to Santo. Outside, a fastball. One ball, two strikes. Billy Williams at third base, infield back. Next pitch swung on and missed, strike three. So came McKenzie after giving up a two-run, three-base hit to Billy Williams. Gets the next two men on strikeouts, and that's the ninth strikeout in the game by the New York pitchers. In the inning for the Chicago Cubs, they pick up two runs on two hits. There was a walk, no errors, one man left in the score at the end of 8 1/2 innings of play. The Chicago Cubs 8, the New York Mets 5. Coming up now, a musical pitch with an interesting switch.
This is Tito Rodriguez for Rheingold Extra Dry. Rheingold El Brindis Perfecto. Para todos, familia y amigos. De sabor sin igual, la cerveza ideal. Tome Rheingold, bien fría y verá. In Spanish, it's magnífica. In English, it's great. In any language, it's Rheingold Extra Dry. Rheingold is brewed longer and slower for flavor that's clean, clear through. It's beer as beer should taste. Dry tells you why.
My beer is Rheingold and dry beer. Think of Rheingold whenever you buy beer. It's not bitter, not sweet. It's a dry flavor treat. Want to try extra dry Rheingold beer?
Moving now to the bottom half of the ninth inning. The Mets need 3 to try. Score of the ball game 8-5 in favor of the Cubs. And Felix Mantilla has been introduced as a pinch hitter for the pitcher, Ken McKenzie. So it will be Mantilla, Richie Ashburn, and Elio Chacon as the first three men against Bob Anderson. And Anderson now into the windup and his first pitch to Mantilla. High ball one. Anderson came in the ball game as the fourth pitcher used by the Cubs. The 6'4" right-hander back to the plate. A fastball at the knees, call strike one. One ball, one strike. With the ball game all tied up at 5-5, the Cubs took the lead over in the eighth inning when they scored one. They had two more in the ninth. Have a three-run lead. There's a foul ball as Mantilla pulls one down the left field line. The count now, one ball and two strikes. In the eighth inning, Ernie Banks doubled off the wall. Then Lou Brock looped a double to left field to score Banks with a tie-breaking run. They added two more in the ninth. Up high, ball two, as Anderson missed with a fastball. Two balls and two strikes. In the ninth inning, Anderson helped his own cause when he singled to left. He was sacrificed to second base. Then Ken Hubbs walked. And that was a sign for Casey Stengel to bring in McKenzie. He pitched to Billy Williams, and Williams hit a two-run scoring triple, his first base hit of the ballgame. Now the 2-2 pitch to Mantilla. Hit hard down to the shortstop, Rogers. He's up with it, over to first base with a lob throw in time for out number one. So Anderson has one out now. Bottom half of the ninth inning, and the batter is Richie Ashburn. Ashburn, a left-handed batter. Richie has a single, a bunt single in the first inning. Bunt base hit. And he has a home run to go along, so he's gone both ways. 2-for-4 today. Make it 2-for-3. Also a walk. First pitch to him is inside and low. Ball one. Richie taking all away. Mets need 3 to tie. Bottom half of the ninth inning. Now Anderson with the 1-0 pitch to Ashburn. Called strike one. Fastball right through the middle. One ball, one strike. The on-deck batter, Elio Chacon. Anderson back to the plate and he misses. Low and outside, ball two. Two balls and one strike. Cubs got out in front in the first inning when they scored four runs. But the Mets bounced right back to tie it up with four of their own. And the Cubs went out front in the third when they scored one run. Mets tied it up in the bottom half of the fifth. Next pitch is bunted down the third base side, but going foul. Ashburn trying to beat out a bunt to get on base for Elio Chacon. And if Chacon can get on, Gene Woodling would be the batter. Now Chacon is called back out of the on-deck circle, and Cliff Cook is sent up. So it looks as though Cliff Cook will be a pitch hitter for Elio Chacon. Cook in the on-deck circle. The count now, 2 balls and 2 strikes. I'm Richie Ashford. And here's the pitch. Outside, ball 3. So Richie now with a full count at 3-2 against Bob Anderson. Ben Hobby, the starting pitch in the ballgame, lasted 1 2/3 innings. Then Barney Schultz came on to go 4. Then Dave Girard, he went 1 1/3. And now Bob Anderson. And the 3-2 pitch to Ashburn is bounced down to third base. Sano up with it on the second bounce. Throws to first base in time. Out number 2. So 2 men are down now, and Cliff Cook is coming up to pitch it for Elio Chacon.
Your second place, Morty Orton. Body for Chacon. Number 6. Cliff Cook. Number 6.
Cliff Cook, a right-handed batter with good power. And the first pitch to him is taken inside, ball 1. Cook batting 195 for the Mets. Now the 1-0 pitch to him. Inside, ball 2. On-deck batter is Gene Woodling. In Chicago, Cook hit a home run against the Chicago Cubs pitching. It was a tremendous drive. Way out in Waveland Avenue. Next pitch to him is high and inside, ball 3. So Bob Anderson, with 2 outs in the bottom half of the ninth and a 3-run lead, falls behind 3-0 on Cook. After Gene Woodling in the on-deck circle, Frank Thomas. So if Cook and Woodling can get on, the tying run will be brought to the plate. And the Mets will have Frank Thomas, their number 1 home run man, up at bat. The 3-0 pitch to Cook. Called a strike right at the knees. 3 balls and 1 strike. Cook looks down at Sally Hemus. He'll probably be taking on the 3-1 pitch. He has to get on base. And the 3-1 pitch to him is taken inside, ball 4. So Anderson walks Cook as a pinch hitter, and it brings up Gene Woodley. That's the second walk issued by Bob Anderson, the 5th walk in the ballgame picked up by the New York Mets. And time call now as Mo Thacker walks the ball back to the mound. No action in either bullpen. 8-5 game, Cubs lead in the bottom half of the ninth inning. Gene Woodling, the batter, batting left-handed. Gene 1-for-3 today in his initial start for the Mets. That one gets away from the catcher. Cook moves on down to second base. It's ball 1. Well, that run doesn't mean anything. It scored a pass ball, but the main run will be in the form of Frank Thomas if he gets the bat. He represents the time run. He's in the on-deck circle. And now Don Elston is up in the bullpen once again for the Chicago Cubs. Anderson with the 1-0 pitch to Woodling. It's a called strike at the knees. 1 ball, 1 strike. One strike as Anderson comes back to the plate to Woodling. This one's hit down the left field line. It'll be a base hit. Cook will score. The ball is off of the wall. Williams playing the ball now. Woodley going to second base, a stand-up double. And now the Mets have the tying run coming to bat. And coming out of the dugout now, Charlie Mitro. Frank Thomas in the batter's box. He represents the tying run. Out at second base, Gene Woodley, the score of the ball game now, 8-6. And Charlie Mitro out to the mound. And there goes the sign. It'll be Don Elson to come in the ballgame. Two outs in the bottom half of the ninth inning. So Anderson, who came in the ballgame in the eighth inning with no one out, and who worked through the eighth inning 1-2-3, has run into trouble, and he is now out of the ballgame. And the fifth pitcher to be used by the Chicago Cubs coming in for the bullpen, Don Elson. The pitcher of record in the ballgame right now is Dave Girard. He would go in as a winning pitcher if the Mets don't score anymore. And Al Jackson, the starter, is on record for the New York Mets. Well, while we have a change in pitchers, let's take a look at the scores. In the National League, the Philadelphia Phillies took the Cincinnati Redlegs 7-2 behind the pitching of Brown and Balsham. Balsham, the winning pitcher in relief. O'Toole, the loser. And he was the starter in the ballgame. Pittsburgh Pirates over Milwaukee 7-3 as Haddix picked up his sixth victory. The losing pitcher was Warren Spahn. His record now 6-8. And at San Francisco, at the end of two innings of play, the Giants out in front 3-0 over the St. Louis Cardinals. McDaniel now in for the Cardinals. Sanford going for the San Francisco Giants. Houston at Los Angeles. Johnson, Ken Johnson, going for the Colt 45s. And Joe Mohler, the youngest pitcher in the Major Leagues, going for the Dodgers. In the American League, the Cleveland Indians won the first game of 2-6-1 over the New York Yankees. Donovan winning his 10th game of the season. The losing pitcher was Stafford. Kendall a home run, Phillips a home run, and Mahoney a home run. In the second game, the starting pitchers, Coates and Ramos. In a single game at Washington, the Baltimore Orioles won it 4-3. Winning pitcher was Wilhelm in relief. He came in the 7th inning. The losing pitcher was Daniels, the starting pitcher for the Washington Senators. And in the first game of two, the Los Angeles Angels against the Chicago White Sox, the Angels lead 5-2 through 7.5 innings of play. Walensky pitching for L.A. now, Sandy in for the Chicago White Sox. Wagner has hit his 17th and 18th home runs in that ball game. And the Minnesota Twins tied up with Kansas City through 3.5, 1-1, Kraddick and Wickersham. The Detroit Tigers defeated Boston in the first game of two, 8-5, as Gary picked up the win in relief of Poitak. The losing pitcher was Swall. And now we're all set to go right here at the Polo Grounds. The score 8-6, but the New York Mets have the tying run at the plate. Frank Thomas, the batter, out at second base, Gene Woodley. And pitching on the mound, Don Elson. And Elson's first pitch, it is a slider that's inside, a little bit high, ball one. Two men out in the bottom half of the ninth inning. The 1-0 pitch to Thomas. Hit off the hand, through the middle into center field, a base hit. Woodley grounding third will score. Thomas at first base is held there as the throw comes into second. The score of the game now, 8-7. Have the time run at first base and the batter's Marv Groberry. And out the mound now, talking it over with Don Elson, this ball backer. And warming up in the bullpen is Tony Balsamo. So the Cubs have a man up in the bullpen, Balsamo, and Cronberry at the plate. And the first pitch to Marv is a ball down low. One ball, no strike. Cronberry has two runs driven in the ballgame. He's looking for his first base hit. Left-handed batter. Elston back to the plate. A curveball call, strike one. A slow curveball breaking over the inside corner. One ball, one strike. Frank Thomas at first base, not being held on. He's the tying run. At the plate, Marv Cronberry. And Roger Craig is up for the New York Mets. Here's the next pitch to Cronberry. Curveball, swung on a miss, strike two. So now Elston out in front. One ball and two strikes with two outs. The score 8-7. And now a pinch runner coming in for Frank Thomas. It's Jay Hook running for Frank Thomas at first base. One ball, two strikes. Elston looking for the sign, takes off the first. Takes the second, goes into the stretch, and the pitch to the plate, a curveball, swung on a miss. That ends the game. Marv Cronberry going down on strikes to end the ball game. So in the inning, the New York Mets fall one short of tying up the ball game as they rallied for two runs. They picked up the two runs on two hits. There were no errors. And one man was left on base. So the score of the ball game, the Chicago Cubs 8, the New York Mets 7. We'll be back.
This copyrighted recording is licensed by Major League Baseball. Any reproduction or other commercial use of this recording, in whole or in part, is prohibited.
So, he's more among some...
And I was talking to friends in Seattle late last night, and Ken Griffey not only hit a seventh straight game, a home run, which is somewhat awkward, a sentence structure, but he had the class to do it in a grand slam. So I know that you talked very lovingly about the time when Don Mattingly tied Dale Long and hit homers in eight straight games, and now Griffey has that chance today.
That was a fun time. I really felt privileged to even watch Don Mattingly during that time. I'd never seen a guy more locked in, and he was just amazing. He really was, and it was fun to watch, and it's something that you could always tell your kids or your nieces and nephews and say, hey, listen, I was there. And now Ken Griffey Jr. has a chance to ruin that, because if he hits a home run tonight and then again tomorrow, then you can't tell your kids, well, I was there when guy hit it in eight straight, but the real record is nine. Mattingly's taking it all in stride, and I spoke to him before the game. I said, you know, what's going through your head? And here's that short little talk with Don Mattingly.
Don, Ken Griffey Jr. is one game away, one home run away from tying you and Dale Long.